got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773-888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy. Has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? Isn't that an amazing question? Has the Christ resurrected in you? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. You can move that now. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and doing whatever it is you're doing, you just can't sit and watch the show, you can podcast and then listen on your phone by calling the Listen Line on Talk Screen Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/Jesse Lee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Friday. A relaxed day. Friday is always relaxed days, meaning that nothing serious. And yet, we deal with all issues. Friday's kind of relaxed, get it off your chest day. And it's like, whatever is on your mind, express yourself Friday.
You, Tom, like a mug.
You need to go and get yourself bleached. Because everything you say about black people, and you're sitting up there looking like a tar baby.
It might sound like a semantics argument, but he's a gray alien.
I wonder if he's been smoking pot.
It's good to talk to you again. I called a couple of days ago and told you a little bit about being attacked in downtown Pittsburgh.
Says he was attacked in downtown Pittsburgh by half a dozen teenagers.
By some teenagers?
Yep.
What could that possibly mean?
A man who didn't want to be identified tried to escape from a group of teenagers who attacked him.
And they was trying to steal or something? And you yelled at him and told him to get out, and instead they jumped you.
Yep.
The victim says the teens surrounded him, punching, kicking, and threatening him.
First is I want a 5,000-word essay written in cursive on the quadratic equation.
I've got about 100 teens dispersing south of Roosevelt and Loomis.
I want a home-cooked meal at each one of their houses and get a chance to meet them.
This car just ran through a whole crowd of Chicago police officers.
Maybe you'd like to rethink your position.
What a mess. They ain't gonna even put that together. Amazing. What a mess, huh? And it's gonna get worse. And that you can rely on. as I said, you could be free because all of your issues, everyone's issues inside themselves. But other people, angry, evil people try to punish other for their issues. I've been asked lately about the flying saucer things, aliens. Are they called aliens? No.
Yeah.
The aliens. The UAP flying saucer things. And some people don't know. Some people don't even believe that they're real. Some people believe that they're evil demons. And other people just don't know. And so I haven't been dealing with this issue because I really, really haven't really thought much about it. Though I see it on, especially on Jesse Waters' show, I see it there. But I forget about it once the show is off. I don't think about it anymore. So I have not brought it up because for some reason I just haven't thought about it. And it's not, I don't know if they are real or not, but something appears to be going on. I just don't know what it is. And so I thought today I'll bring it up to see if anyone in the audience, listening audience out there, thought much about the flying saucer thing, aliens, whatever they're called. Fox News host Jesse Waters reported on the Trump administration newly released second batch of the UAP file from the Pursue program. And so the Department of War released the files on May 22nd, 2026. This is from Fox News. Watch this.
We're going back to the moon.
America is returning to the moon. We are working alongside our many international and commercial partners to leverage the incredible capabilities from commercial industry to build a moon base. We are leveraging the NASA playbook from the 1960s, figuring out what works and what doesn't in this epic science of survival, because the moon base is as beautiful as it is hostile.
Today, NASA released their plans for the moon base. They want to start building it by 2030. And move astronauts in a few years later. Top brass says the base will stretch hundreds of miles. It'll be a place where lunar travelers can live, do research, and eventually blast off to Mars.
I think they played the wrong one. Did y'all play 29-8-1-A? That wasn't about the UFO things. Anyway, I'm glad they showed the moon thing because I know, and I've been saying for years, that knowing how innovative and smart white people are, that they're going to eventually leave this country, leave America and go to outer space somewhere because they're not going to be able to handle the attack upon white people. And so see how they're planning to go to the moon? So I'm going to save my money so I can go there as well. I'm not going to stay on this planet knowing that how violent things are going to get. Especially when the white people leave. You know how when white people move out to the suburb, the inner city, the people that stays behind destroys the city. So I would suggest that you, for those who believe in freedom, real freedom, that you save your money and so you can go to the moon. So I'm glad that even though that's a clip that had anything to do with UFOs, I'm still glad that they showed it. So I'm not sure which one of these clips has anything to do with the UFOs now. and I'm going to have to come back to it.
It seems like this reporting goes from the moon to the earth. So if you just follow the clips here, he tells us about the moon, and then we go from the moon to earth mysteries.
Oh, okay. Here's Warner described NASA step by step. Watch this from Fox News.
NASA says the mission will happen like this. We're debuting Moonfall. It's a swarm of drones that'll map out the surface because, as we know in real estate, it's about location, location, location. Then rovers and cargo start coming and, you know, the move-in company. Then Americans will start living there permanently.
Okay, no UFO in there. I want to come back to this because I wanted to focus on the UFO things. That's amazing. They are moving to the moon. I'm going with them. And I'm going to go on the first flight with the people that are going to be live there because they're going to, they are definitely going to make the prices of the moon land go up. And I want to buy it while it was cheap. Buy me a home up there. Why some land up there, why it is cheap, all right? Did you hear that the ICE agents were being attacked again in our country? You hear about that? Just imagine the ICE agents working for us, the people of the United States of America. And they are being attacked. They are being attacked by American citizens and Allahu Akbar people in the United States of America. Now you see why you want to go to the moon? Did you ever imagine that the people from the United States of America would allow foreigners to come into our country and attack the lawmakers, the people who were put there to protect them? Can you now see that it's over for America? This is what's happening in Europe. This is what's happening in white countries around the world. And it's got to get worse. I never, ever, 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 ever imagined for a second that I would one day see the lawmakers that we hire go out on the streets to protect the American citizens and be attacked. Fox News, demonstrations outside of Delaney Hall Detention Center in Newark, New Jersey, turned violent on Wednesday night. Watch this from ABC 7.
To Newark, where violent clashes continued for yet another night outside of a migrant detention center. New video shows ICE agents hitting protesters with batons at Delaney Hall.
Yeah, Charlene Perry, and we'll show you that video in just a few moments. It paints the picture as to what happened here just hours ago and for a sixth night of protests as these demonstrators continue to clash with federal immigration officers. Some of those protesters still out here this morning. They say that they're standing in solidarity with the detainees that are inside of Delaney Hall. They say that they are facing inhumane conditions as a hunger strike is happening just inside. But right now you're taking a live look as to what we've been seeing over the past couple of hours. hours. Things appear to be peaceful as of right now, but we have also seen how quickly things can escalate. But let's pull up that video for you. A violent scene, dozens of protesters, they flooded this Newark street. One ICE officer caught on camera with a baton in hand, striking protesters to get back from the property as they use their bodies as a human barrier, some covering themselves with various objects for protection from traffic cones and even mattresses. But there were some scuffles that often ensue when vehicles are trying to exit the facilities.
Amazing. This is happening not in Israel, not in Allahu Akbar country, but in our country, United States of America, a Judeo-Christian nation. Did you ever imagine? And see how those people dressing, some of those people look like they were dressed in Allahu Akbar clothes. How is that possible? How do you come to America and you fight against America? I told you they see us as the big Satan. But no. Y'all don't mind that. Y'all don't care. We, in the eyes of the Allahu Akbar people, we are the big Satan, and Israel is the small Satan. And they want to wipe both out. And they are on their way to doing that. I saw a report this morning, I believe, or maybe yesterday, where, though I did not hear the whole report, but it sounded like they're having some type of parade in New York. And the so-called mayor of New York, Mamdani, said he's not going to participate in the parade. The Jewish parade. I think it's a Jewish parade they're having. I may be wrong, but something like that for sure. But he's not going to participate. The mayor of New York, will he participate in a Allahu Akbar parade? Will he participate if the parade was about black history or blacks? Or I don't even know if he would participate from whites. But these are the people that are starting to, that are running our country now. New York City Mayor Mamdani will not attend the annual Israel Day Parade on Fifth Avenue this Saturday, or Sunday, I believe, this Sunday, May 31st, 2026. He's breaking a 61-year tradition of mayor participating, dated back from 1964. That's from Brave. So you got a foreigner running a city like New York. Who is has decided he's not going to run. I mean, he's not going to participate. I wonder out loud, did any of these people vote for these Jewish people in New York? Any of them voted for Mamdani? If they did, they're getting what they deserve, because you already know that Muslims, Islamic, Allahu Akbar people do not like the Jews. And if you voted for him, then you're getting what you deserve. That is amazing to me. Lawmakers tour this facility there in New Jersey. These are the Democrats. They do not want the immigration enforcement people to deport, go out there, catch these people and deport them. They don't want it because they want the vote. Not that they love these people. They want these people to vote to try to get them back in power. My country is gone. Here, this is from ABC7.
Chants rang out throughout the night as emotions ran high following reports of a hunger strike by detainees. Lawmakers yesterday, they toured the detention center, giving us some more insight to what's happening inside.
Repercussions and retaliations have been launched against the people in the hunger strike. We were informed that 13 of them were moved out since the hunger strike began.
The stories I've gotten, especially from women inmates, about the access to medical attention seemed unsatisfactory, if not dangerous, to their conditions.
DHS denies that there's a hunger strike and that rather they're providing care for detainees.
See how the Democratic, quote-unquote, representatives are not for you? They are not for America. They're for themselves. And so they don't care if the illegals vote or not. And when they do, they want them to vote because they want power. ICE is trying to do its job. And because, according to all the reports, because the Democrats won't participate with ICE, they have to do it this way. And it's also interesting to me, too, that the American people can let the Democrats or the liberal media tell them to go out on the street and fight against the police. The very people who are trying to protect you from the illegals, you go out there and protest and fight them and prevent them from gathering up illegal aliens. What a mess. And it's going to get worse because it's a spiritual battle, good and evil. And evil people are against America. They're not for it. It doesn't matter that they're American citizens or not. The enemy is always within. The enemy is always within. Inside of you and outside of you, inside of others and inside of our country. They're here. And my country is gone. And it's only going to get worse. Because there, other than Donald Trump being out there doing his best to stop it, there's no other support. Not from the government, at least. Not from the police department. Their hands are tired. Amazing, huh? I want to, let's do some super chats here, because I want to get into what's happening in these graduations again. But it's time for super chats.
Super chats.
Amazing.
Good morning.
Good morning. You believe that there are UFOs out there?
Yes. Because they're UFOs stands for unidentified flying objects, and there's always some type, there's oftentimes stuff that's not identified. So that's real. Aliens? Nah.
Oh, you don't believe that there are aliens in the flying saucers?
Right.
You think the flying saucers are being operated by human beings?
Not necessarily. Maybe.
But a flying saucer just can't fly by itself.
How do you know?
How can it do it?
Maybe it's just...
It gotta make itself.
Every...
It gotta make itself into a physical form, right?
I don't like how they started using UAP, but every...
I don't know what UAP means.
I know, me neither. U, unidentified, A, anomalous, kind of like an anomaly.
Oh.
And phenomena, P. Phenomena.
So, unidentified flying object. No. Objects.
That's UFOs. Slightly different from UFOs. This encompasses UFOs and more. It could be lights, shining, or whatever. And they just haven't identified it. And it just looks weird. They don't know what it is.
I remember I saw a video some years ago now where these scientists or someone said that they had caught these two UFO people. Remember they were in a little box, like a little funeral box or something? And they was on display.
Oh.
Do you remember that? And they looked like...
No, I don't remember that
specifically. Monster little thing, little short monster men or whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't believe UFOs exist.
I don't believe aliens exist.
Oh. And so you think these flying saucers coming from China or somewhere, Russia?
Yeah, they could, or the military, or just people seeing things. It could be, you know, these Chinese people in the desert, they fly these lanterns that float, or whatever. There's all kinds of different things that could be happening. You ever heard of the Aurora Borealis or whatever?
No, not that I'm aware of.
The Northern Lights. That's when there's all these weird light things in the sky or whatever. And it's awesome. So there's like all kinds of different phenomena like that.
That's amazing.
It is. When I was a kid, the kooky people believed in aliens.
Right.
But nowadays...
Well, I don't know about kooky people.
I call them kooky. Right. Okay, no endorsement implied. I don't represent Bond or JLP or even myself.
Because there are some people who believe they are little aliens. They are like aliens.
And they're not kooks.
Right.
According to you.
Right.
Or it remains to be seen. The jury's out. We don't have to judge. But nowadays, the kooky people believe that space isn't even real. So when I was a kid, it was aliens. See. And now they don't even believe in space. And they think the Earth is flat. Shout out.
They don't think space exists?
Right.
So when they look up, what are they looking at?
They're looking at according to them, they're looking at merely the firmament, because God said that he put a firmament over the earth, which is to say, I call that the atmosphere, and then above that is water, and there's this glass ceiling around the whole earth, the whole flat earth, the dome, and there's water up there, and that's why it's blue.
It's amazing what the mind can make you believe.
Indeed.
Jesse Waters did an amazing thing about the aliens last night.
I think I might have just found it, barely.
I have to do it on Monday. We don't have it. I thought we had it, but Derek got the wrong ones. He got about...
He searched and searched, and that's the one that he found.
He talked about
it wasn't available right away.
But it wasn't about the about the aliens.
It wasn't available online right away. Just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's online yet.
Oh, I see. Well, we're short on Monday then.
Okay.
Because, again, I've been hearing about these UFO things, right?
Yeah.
But I just don't think about it. I've not been really thinking about it.
Right.
And so when I saw it on Jesse Waters last night, I'm like, and then other people asking me about it when I'm out and about. Oh, what do you think about the aliens? Do you think they're real? I remember years ago when I first started hearing about the aliens, I thought maybe the people were looking into it. They were getting glimpse of evil. They were somehow or another catching glimpse of that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought the aliens were dark, evil spirits. But anyway.
Over on... Yesterday, Lin Yen Chin, I missed a super chat. The devil is no fada, but a lesbian. Ask Eve, says Lin Yen Chin.
Amazing. Thank you. I don't quite understand what you're saying, but thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
And we'll have to read the rest of these later, y'all.
Let me take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, and woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Welcome back. 888-775-3773. Busy day. It's Friday again. Fridays are always busy. First, you have the Hake Report coming up right after my show here from 9 to 11. The Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com. And after the Hake Report, a brand new episode of the FallenState.tv every Friday at 11 a.m. I had an interesting, fun conversation with Dr. Chae Ong. He is an evangelical pastor, and he is running for governor of California. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
So you're running for governor of California.
Yes. The Democratic Party has taken God out. Here I'm a pastor in California, and when I decided to support Trump, people walked out on my sermon. And they're all women.
Of course.
They're all going for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I ended up suing Governor Newsom for locking down the church. He had abortion clinics open, marijuana dispensaries, and liquor stores. This is in the United States.
United States of America.
This is not China.
Amazing. At 11 a.m. today. And you can support the Fallen State by becoming a member right there on the YouTube channel or local, jessieleepeterson.locals.com. And after the Fallen State brand new episode, The American Anchor Baby. Right after the Fallen State, The American Anchor Baby, around 12:15, after the Fallen State. And then check out Punchy TV with Bill. Brand new episode on Punchy.TV. You can podcast that. So a lot going on. And then fellowship on Sunday. All are invited. to fellowship, go to rebuildingtheman.com/church. Rebuildingtheman.com/church. All right? That's amazing. Rebuildingtheman.com/church. So let me go back to the super chats, and then I get to your calls. Super, super.
Super chat.
Super chats.
And he says, Halfbreed, have you ever read Trump's The Art of the Deal book?
No.
Great minds surely think alike. Much of what he speaks is what you say every day. It reminds me of your 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual Family and Financial Success book. Hashtag treasures. Hashtag book, ear, you. Email or something.
I have not read it, but someone gave me that book as a gift. I got to read. I'm black and slow, so I don't do a lot of reading. But I've heard so much about it. And thank you, though. And you can get a copy of my 7 Guaranteed Step to Financial Spiritual Family Success by going to rebuildingtheman.com/stores or jesseleepeterson.shop. All right? Amazing. Thank you.
Bree K bought 5 coffees. Thank you, Bree.
Thank you, Bree K. I appreciate it.
Isaiah, the Uber driver, 33 coffees. Good morning. Jesse, would you recommend married couples to have no S at all, if not for the purpose of having a child?
What? Married couple?
Yeah, married couples. Married couples.
Oh, once you're married.
To have no.
Oh, no.
At all for the purpose of having kids.
The whole purpose of getting married is to make babies. If you don't want children, there's not a reason to get married. Zero. All right. Amazing. Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you, Isaiah, the Uber driver. Very generous.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Jamie, 3 coffees. Question for Jesse and Hake. What is y'all's favorite meal? Tacos and barbecue here, says Jamie. Is that, and that's one meal, tacos and barbecue? That's a serious meal.
That's a heavy meal. Amazing. I don't know if I have a favorite meal. I don't know if I have a favorite one.
Not necessarily into food like that.
Right. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Pizza for me.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I mean, it's one of my favorite foods.
Oh, okay.
Jamie, Little Caesars. Anyway, no endorsement implied.
I like egg rolls.
Hey.
Especially when they have those different kind, assorted ones.
The veggie ones, the pork, the chicken.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Amazing. Thank you.
Jamie says, stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. Albert Einstein, quote.
That's deep. Amazing. Thank you.
To own up to one's lack of courage and shortcoming without excuse is courage. Jesse Lee Peterson, quoted.
Amazing. Thank you.
Says Jamie.
Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
Thank you, Jamie. Very kind.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Amazing. A spiritual battle. Earth is not heaven, and human beings are not God. The evil spirit in human beings is amazing to me. And I understand it now. Because every human being is possessed with evil until they overcome it by returning to the Father, dropping the anger. Human nature is wicked. If you doubt me, look how you think and treat others. Think about and treat others. And look how they treat you. We were created to love one another. There's no love in this world except for the men and women who are starting to drop their resentment, drop their anger, and return to the Father. Let me go to Earl out of Michigan. Earl, you are on the air. Hey, Earl.
Jesse, this is Earl.
Hey, Earl.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
No.
How about now?
No, I can't hear you now either.
I was going to give you a question.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how you said racism doesn't exist?
Right.
But it does exist because you always say that there's an attack upon white people.
Right.
Yeah. So it does exist.
But why do you say that it exists because there is an attack on white people?
Because you're always saying that you tremble when they're gonna that there's not gonna be white people left. You said it yourself that you tremble the day that there's gonna be no white babies.
Well, white people are going to the moon now, so things are gonna be fine.
And how do you know that for sure?
About know what for sure?
That they're gonna go to the moon?
Because I saw a report on Jesse Waters' show on Fox News that they're preparing to move to the moon. He didn't say white people are prepared, but they are preparing. The space people are preparing a place eventually, so that people can move to the moon. But Earl, do you agree or disagree that there is an attack on white people?
I agree, and that's why racism does exist.
But why do you not see that it's coming from white people being hated? They are hated by these people because they're jealous of the whites. They blame whites for their failure in life. They are blaming someone else, the white people, and that has nothing to do with racism. That is due to hatred.
But racism is a specific kind of hatred.
Like what?
It's like that it feels like you hate them only because of their skin color and where they come from.
But that's not the reason why people are hated by most, especially black people, but most people now. They are hated because of their abilities that they have. And then they have been told that the white people is holding them back. That white people are holding them back is not true, but they have been told that. They're not hating them just because they're white. They hate them because they have been made to believe that white people are their problems.
What about, like, do you think they also hate the liberal whites?
No, yeah. When you hate one, you hate all. It doesn't matter what party they belong to. And when you hate one, you hate everyone. And when you love, if you don't love all, you love no one. So white people are not hated, Earl, just because of their color. They are hated because they've been told that the white people are holding them back in life. They are blaming white people because they are not able to have a good life themselves.
I also think that
the word racism is just made up. They made that word up. Especially during the so-called civil rights movement, they made that word up so they can deceive the people with a word and control them.
I also think that white people are weak.
Are you
white? Do you agree with me? No.
What's your race?
Mexican.
Oh, okay. You say you believe that they're weak?
Weak in that they let other people walk over them, like,
well, of course, because if white people were not weak, America would still be an amazing place to live. But they are. They're afraid. They have fear of being called racist and their jobs being taken away from them. Earl, thank you, man. Yeah. I got to run. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right, buddy. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to first time call out of Texas, Fernando. Fernando, you're on the air.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Fernando.
You sound amazing.
Amazing.
Yes. So my question to you is, Jesse, recently I got injured on a construction site, and I'm sure this has happened for hundreds of people, maybe more. And my father here on Earth, my physical father.
Are you on a speakerphone or something?
I do apologize. I was a little bit far from my phone.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm sure this has happened for 100 people, right? They show up, they work, and then at work they get hurt. And that's unfortunate. But in my case, my physical father here on Earth is my employer. And my question to you is, should I file for workers' compensation?
Oh, because you work for your father?
Yes.
And have you talked to him about this? Have you spoken to him about it?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He said he'll pay for all the medical treatment. And basically not to sue him.
And so how do you feel about that? If he's taking care of everything, are you considering filing for it?
I'm considering filing for it, yes, sir.
And why, if he said he would take care of everything, why are you thinking about it?
Because I'm deep into my thoughts, Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so did you have a question for me or something?
No.
All right. Well, working out with your father but the decision is on you. It's really not your father's decision, your earthly father. It's your decision if you want to do that to him. And he can't. It's really up to you. All right? 888-775-3773. Thank you, Fernando. But that's your decision only you can make. But if your father said, okay, son, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. It's kind of interesting. Amazing. I want to, I've been talking to you about what's happening with these, at these graduations. And, how bad things are getting. You can't even go to a graduation now and have fun. You can't even go out on the streets anymore and feel safe because, you know, when I say feel safe, I mean just kind of relax and not think about a fight breaking out or anything, you know, because remember the good old days? When you can go out and just enjoy your life and you never imagine, it's never occurred to you that maybe there will be a fight. Or maybe that you'll get beat up. You can go anywhere, concerts, and all over, and nothing will happen. That's gone now. You can't even go to a graduation. You can't even go to any event and not expect something negative to go wrong. What a sad way to live. Here's a video from a crowded graduation arena where a physical altercation break out in the stands between a black female and a white female. Watch this from X.
This is not the 19th one. I'm there right here. This is Allie Green, Green Temple.
What are you doing?
Kendall Cooper.
Kevin Arlana, Redditor. Ethan Pablo, Whitehall Gearman. Michael Ramsey, Whitehall Gearman.
Amazing, huh? They're trying to get these people to sit down so that other people can see the event. And the blacks are, according to this report, they are refusing to sit down and show some sense of common sense. And all that white people want is to have a white, normal life. They just want a first-class life. But they're not going to be able to have that now. It's gone. What's wrong with the blacks? Common sense would say, you know what, don't stand in front of these people. They're trying to see the graduation. But according to the video, I don't know what really happened. But according to the video, they just walk up and they stand right in front of the people who are sitting already. And you tell them, no, you got to move, they cuss you out. Human nature is evil. It's evil. Oh, that was the wrong one anyway. What's going on here today? Kerry, you played the wrong one, man. Amazing. What a mess. I thought I had illegal aliens to show you. Didn't have that. I thought I was about to show you a graduation. Didn't have that. It's Friday. Not illegal, but alien. Spacey. That was the wrong play, folks. That was another ceremony where the people were already there and sitting, according to the report. These black people show up, and they just stand right in front of the people. A different situation, but the same principles. Amazing. I don't even know where to go now. I'm going to go to break. This is not working. 888-775-3773. Let me take a break. I'll be back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.
There's some serious mess going on in this here old world. This is the end of our one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It is Express Yourself Friday. There is one line open. Hang tight, callers and super chatters. We will get to your calls, your super chats. Some great stories and great segments coming up in this second hour, y'all. But it is fake news, not fake news. AI-generated voice scams. I am not AI, although you are just hearing my voice. Get your Punchies coffee, get your Jesse coin, get your t-shirts and other swag from jesseleepeterson.shop that you're looking at right now. But AI-generated voice scams are becoming, according to CNN, Comedy Nonsense Network, increasingly sophisticated with technology that can now mimic the voices of people you know and trust. Allegedly. Trust no one. And you really don't know people. Experts say that a few simple tips can help you spot the warning signs. There's this lady who she thought that she was getting a distress call from her daughter, when in reality, it was an AI voice. And she spent thousands of dollars over there, gave them thousands of dollars. A rocket exploded, and it was a Blue Origin rocket. Looking like clowns compared to SpaceX, maybe. A Blue Origin, no endorsement implied. Blue Origin rocket erupted in a fireball on yesterday, during a ground test in Cape Canaveral, Florida, creating a dramatic setback for Amazon's and Washington Post's, I think, Jeff Bezos's space company. His space company. No one was injured, the company said, thankfully. Investigators working to determine the cause of the anomaly or mishap. And it's unclear how the incident will impact Blue Origin's future lunar ambitions. There is a potential deal between the United States and Iran. He reached a tentative agreement to open the Strait of Hormuz and start nuclear talks, per U.S. officials Thursday. President Donald J. Trump, our greatest president, still needs to give his approval, though, per CNN, at least as of the time of this reporting. And the situation in the region remains tense. All right. Inflation, elevated gas prices pushed inflation up again later this month, last month, according to a new report. As inflation hits a three-year high, U.S. households are saving at their lowest rate in years. A growing financial pressure on consumers. Did you hear about this manhunt in Hawaii? A manhunt in Hawaii ended Thursday with the arrest of a 36-year-old suspect in the killings of three elderly men, so said police. Suspect found hiding in a cave nearly 3 days after the first victim was discovered. And there's an ongoing, I think, a search for people in a cave off of Laos. Did you hear about the $250 bill? The Bureau of Engraving and Printing planning a potential print of a commemorative $250 bill with the image of our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, to mark the United States' 250th anniversary. U.S. law prohibits living people from appearing on currency, generally, meaning any exception would require congressional approval. No indication that it would pass. Pam Bondi, testifying as part of the Epstein probe, former Attorney General Pam Bondi, behind closed doors will appear today, according to them, before the House Oversight Committee amid an ongoing probe of the Epstein files. And the Trump Accounts app, it's going live. A new app for parents who set up Trump accounts for their children. You can now, I guess, download it or use it or something if you're such a parent. And there are concerns about TikTok. Speaking of apps, 4 months after the United States averted a TikTok ban, some lawmakers say Americans still don't have enough info about whether the deal addresses national security concerns. What a mess. And South Korean computer chip company is now a trillion-dollar company. Congratulations, SK Hynix. H-Y-N-I-X. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour 2.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-773-7733-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question is a doozy. Has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? This is for those who want to know themselves. Know thyself if you want to be free. But if you love your misery, you love judging and being angry and resentful and emotional, it's not for you. It's for those men and women who want to overcome. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show, jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and you just can't sit and watch the show, you can podcast and listen on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And to donate to have your comments read out loud, and we're going to get to all of your super chats, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, or bond JLP cash up. It's Friday, a relaxed day. Express yourself Friday. Whatever is on your mind, express yourself Friday.
You talk like a mug. You need to go and get yourself bleached, because everything you say about black people, and you're sitting up there looking like a tar baby.
It might sound like a semantics argument, but he's a gray alien.
I wonder if he's been smoking pot.
Good to talk to you again. I called a couple of days ago and told you a little bit about being attacked in downtown Pittsburgh.
A man says he was attacked in downtown Pittsburgh by half a dozen teenagers.
By some teenagers?
Yep.
What could that possibly mean?
A man who didn't want to be identified tried to escape from a group of teenagers who attacked him.
And they was trying to steal or something? And you yelled at them and told them to get out, and instead they jumped you.
Yeah.
Victim says the teens surrounded him, punching, kicking, and threatening him.
First is, I want a 5,000-word essay written in cursive on the quadratic equation.
I've got about 100 teens dispersing south of Roosevelt and Loomis.
I want a home-cooked meal at each one of their houses and get a chance to meet them.
This car just ran through a whole crowd of Chicago police officers.
Maybe you'd like to rethink your position.
What a mess! 888-7753-773. Let me just say to the callers who are on hold, I have a guest, and when we're done, I will get to your call, so be patient. I have with me Myron Gaines, and he is the host of the Fresh and Fit podcast. a writer of number one best-selling book, Why Women Deserve Less. Why Women Deserve Less. He is a former special agent with Homeland Security Investigation. And we're going to tell you how to get to his website, how to get his book and all that. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me on, Jesse. I appreciate it.
What are you doing in L.A.?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm here. No, I'm just kidding. We just got done doing a some college debates at UCLA yesterday. So we got that handled. Basically, what I would do is I go to these universities. I'll, like, you know, set up a table, you know, something like, you know, Women Deserve Less or Chud the Builder Did Nothing Wrong or ICE Raids Are Greats or something like that. Change my mind.
Right.
You know, so we're keeping a legacy going with what happened, obviously, after Charlie Kirk was tragically assassinated. But, yeah, that's what I was in town to do, do some debates. And we had a couple of, you know, idiots as usual knucklehead show up yesterday. So it was a good time.
How did it go yesterday at UCLA?
It was good. It was good. You know, we debated everything from the Chud the Builder shooting. My argument is that it was a self-defense case. I think he has a very strong self-defense case, despite everyone being all butthurt about the whole racial thing. But, you know, people tend to be emotional when it comes to racially charged topics. But if we actually look at the objective facts of the case, I think he has a pretty good self-defense case. We discussed immigration. We discussed, you know, masculinity, feminism, the, you know, toxicity of feminism, which I know you're very well aware of, too. a bunch of different things, but those are some of the topics we talked about, you know, the Iran war with Israel, and how Israel, you know, I'm not too much of a fan of Israel. I've been very critical of Jewish power and stuff like that in America, but a bunch of different topics.
Did anyone try to attack you yesterday?
Did anyone try to attack me?
Video, you were at some school and some guy came up to the mic and...
Yeah, he put his backpack down like a weirdo.
Right.
Yeah, I was at University of South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. And, that guy, a lot of people don't know, there was lots of cops there. That guy almost got himself shot. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Because, like, on the side, that school actually has pretty good security. And, you know, I got to give credit to UCLA, USC, University of Florida. Some of these schools have, like, really beefed up their security whenever they got, like, conservative speakers to come and talk. Okay. After, obviously, what happened with Charlie.
Yeah.
But no, it was good. It was a good discussion. We covered a whole bunch of topics, everything from politics to culture to race. I talked about the black community and, you know, how, you know, honestly, we got to do better, even though a lot of them get mad at me. They say I'm Uncle Tom. I get some of the same accusations you do.
Are you black?
Yeah, so my family's...
How can you look?
My family's from Sudan.
Or something.
That's what everyone says, yeah. My family's from Sudan. So, like, I'm like Arab black, I guess.
So your family's from Sudan?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So you like real black then?
Yeah, technically, yeah. But but if you talk to any of these, like, you know, these foundational blacks or whatever, they'll be like, you're not one of us, you're a tether. I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but okay, sure.
Me either. Are you like a mixed black, or are your father and mother black?
Both of them are from Sudan.
Really?
From Sudan, yeah. And the thing with Sudan is, like, since it's, like, you know, northern Sudan, it used to all be one country, but now it's, you know, it's split up with regular Sudan and South Sudan. But yeah, lots of Arabs. Some of my relatives are, like, very light skinned. Some are very dark.
Right.
Like, my brother is very dark, whereas, like, I'm a little bit lighter, but, like, my sister's pretty light. My mom is pretty light. My aunt is damn near white. So it depends on, you know, who it is. But, like, yeah, we have a very, very mixed.
But so black people don't know that you are black.
Yeah, only the idiots don't know. Yeah, like the other people will be like, yeah, you know, you're technically the definition of African American, but, like, I don't even argue it anymore because it's like half of them will say you are and then others will say you're not. So it's just like, okay, I don't even care to get into, like, the whole, you know, race politics of what I am. Let me just objectively say what the problems are.
You even have good hair.
Kind of, I guess.
Like a black person,
you could say.
Hair, you have a white person's hair.
Yeah, it does curl. It does get curly, but it's like bigger curls. Versus like my brother, for example, he got the nigga naps. So for him, I don't know how much I can swear here, guys. So tell me if I'm swearing too much.
Yeah,
I can say whatever.
No, not too much. We have children listening.
Oh, my bad. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a lot
the ninja
kids.
Naps. Then I'll say ninja naps.
Right. Yeah, we have children listening.
Okay.
Watching the show. What's important to you?
In regards to, like, my personal goals, like what I kind of want to see with the United States, or
overall in life, period, what's important to you?
I think one of the most important things,
individual,
the truth.
The truth.
Yeah.
Meaning what?
I know you get this all the time with the pushback. Unfortunately, the things that tend to be true tend to offend people.
Yeah.
Right. And they tend to, you know, a lot of people would rather be politically correct than actually be really correct. And I think that we've, you know, luckily, I think with Trump coming in, We've been able to kind of get a little bit less politically correct or whatever. But I do think in general, we live in a very, you can't say this, that's offensive, right, whatever. And we will go ahead and go with comforting lies versus uncomfortable truths. And I've kind of realized this from different realms, because I talk about a multitude of different topics, whether it's covering, you know, true crime and criminal cases, because I used to do law enforcement back in the day, or it's like, you know, gender, intersexual dynamics between men and women, or, you know, geopolitical affairs like Middle Eastern foreign policy with what's going on over there. Like, I've realized that I get, you know, pushback from people where I'll say things like, this is actually what's going on, this is the truth, and they'll be like, they'll fight me, right? So it's not just in one realm. It's like there's like this there's this how do I say this? People kind of want to sleepwalk through different types of discussions and topics.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you about Sudan.
Sure.
Were you born here in America? Or were you
I was born in the United States.
Oh, your parents.
I was born in New York City. Yeah. So my parents came here, and my dad came here in the 70s and 80s. Okay. Was a cab driver in New York City. Got robbed multiple times. You know, he figured it out. Brought my mom over. You know, then I moved to Connecticut, and I was there in the 90s, from my childhood, from like 0 to 9. And then my parents moved to Connecticut after New Brain, Connecticut, to be exact, which is like a really, people think Connecticut is nice. Not where I grew up in. Central Connecticut, it sucks. It's right outside of Hartford.
Yeah.
You know, blue collar town, 50% dropout rate in high school. So it wasn't necessarily the best place to be. But you know, my parents taught me a lot. I think my parents did a fantastic job. We didn't have money, but, you know, my parents like taught me what's right, what's wrong. Really strong parents, and I think that's I attribute a lot of my success to them.
And are you a Christian?
No, I grew up in a Muslim household.
Are you Muslim?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not really devout. I'm not really too religious myself. But you know, I obviously believe in God, and you know, I'm a big supporter of all the Abrahamic faiths. You know, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, they're all very close. So, you know, yeah.
So you're a Muslim?
Yeah, yeah.
What's
not a good one. But yeah,
that's amazing. Why would you be a Muslim and not a Christian in a Christian country?
Well, you know, I get a lot of slack for this because I actually do agree that America's a Christian country.
Yeah.
As much as people get mad at me for saying that, I got in a whole debacle.
Why did you get mad about that? This is true.
So they were praying at Times Square, and I was actually like one of the people. I was like, "Yeah, this is inappropriate. You shouldn't be praying at Times Square." And they're like, "Why not?" And I was like, "Because this isn't a Muslim country; it's a Christian country." And I got like in a whole debacle with, you know, the Muslim community about that. I'm like, "Look, dude, you guys have mosques. Like, go pray at the mosques. Like, you know, if you went to," and I gave them a functional equivalent. I was like, "Look, if we took 100 Christians, right, and we put them over to the UAE and they prayed in front of the Burj Khalifa, right, they heard like held like a sermon or something like that, they would probably get arrested."
Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that because the UAE is a Muslim country, right? That is the leading faith. That doesn't mean you can't practice there or whatever, but you got to show respect for the country that you're at. And I get a lot of pushback when I say that America was founded as a Christian country. So, excuse me. So, but when it comes to why am I Muslim, I grew up in a Muslim household. I do think the religion, you know, answers a lot of questions. But I don't really delve too much into religion. I am researching, you know, I have been like looking into Christianity more, and like reading up on it, because I do think it's important to understand it fundamentally to a degree to be able to have some of these discussions.
Are you, if you wanted to become a Christian, are you allowed to become one?
You can convert, but I don't think I would. Though I do have a great deal of respect for the faith, but I don't think I would convert. I can't turn my back on. You know, I'd have to look at everything fully objectively before I was to do that. But I do think that Islam answers a lot of questions. But look, I think if you're of any of the faiths of the book, you're going to probably be in a pretty good position.
Right. And do you love all people?
Yeah, surprisingly, even though people think I don't, but I do. You know, yes, I might say some things that are racist. Yes, I might say some things that are bigoted or whatever, according to people. But typically, when I speak about things generally. So, like, if I say a joke or I say something like, look, black people commit a lot of crimes, they'll get mad. That's racist. But it's like, well, technically, you know, it's given the facts and circumstances, you look at the FBI reports, et cetera, they do commit a majority of the violent crimes. And, you know, but they're never able to kind of, like, take that in and realize, like, okay, well, I don't adhere to that stat, so let me not get mad. They'll just get offended, which is another thing that annoys me, where people lack critical thinking skills. It's like they have an inability to criticize their group of people if they fall into it. Like I told you before with the Islam thing, like, I don't think it's appropriate that you guys are praying at Times Square. And like, why would you say that? You grew up Muslim, blah, blah. I'm like, no, because this is not a Christian country, bro. I'm sorry. Like, it's just not – sorry, this is not a Muslim country. And they get mad at me about that. So I'm able to, like, you know, be self-critical and discuss certain things, and they get pissed off when I do that. And I actually do think that's like a sign of higher IQ if you're able to be critical and call things out, even if you are part of that group. Like, I criticize black people all the time, despite that I'm black to the point where they're like, you're not even one of us. And it's like, I kind of am, but that's fine if you guys don't want to accept me. But that's the amazing. Truth is the truth.
The speaking of New York, Mondami, the mayor of New York, what's your impression of Mondami?
So Mondani, I'm not really much of a socialist or a Democrat. Some people would say I'm right wing. Some others might say I'm far right. I'm not too much of a fan. But what I will say is, when it comes to Mondani, is that is going to be the Democrat playbook. I called it when he won mayor in New York City. Late last year, earlier this year, at the end of last year, slash early this year. And I was like, the Democrat playbook is going to be this. Use grassroots, you know, social media, you know, grassroots social media following, you know, hit the streets, do lots of like, you know, hitting the doors, everything else like that. Kind of show that you're one of the people. Ride the bus with them. Give promise free stuff. Because I think the Democrat Party is evolving. It used to be, right, the, you know, Bill Clinton, you know, we love Israel, but we're also still Democrats slash, you know, we're going to go ahead and, you know, give handouts, whatever. But like now it's like they're full on socialist and yeah. they're not apologetic about it whatsoever. If you look at like, you know, prominent left wing talking heads versus, you know, the politicians, you look at people like Mamdani, AOC, Bernie Sanders, et cetera. All of them are pretty much social Democrats, and they call themselves that now. So I think the Democrat Party is leaning towards socialism more, and I also do think that they're going to run on the anti-Israel rhetoric. I just saw today Eric Adams was talking about how Mamdani is not going to march in the Israeli parade in New York City, which is a big deal.
Right,
almost every mayor has done that.
Right.
So I think the Democratic Party in 2028, also 2026, is going to run on, let's do, you know, socialism. Let's go ahead and, you know, get you guys free healthcare, expand Medicaid, give you guys more social safety nets, increase affordability. Obviously, with the gas prices being high right now, they're going to use this current war to say, see, look, he said he's going to come in on affordability, no new wars, and we're in a war in Iran. And they're going to go off the anti-Israel rhetoric, because I do think the Democrats have a better grasp of Middle Eastern foreign policy than the Republicans do. But that's what I think they're going to do, and I think that's going to be the playbook. Because when Mamdani won, that was one of the big, you know, first wins for the Democratic Party after the 2024 election, because they lost a lot of the people, and I think that's going to be the route that they go when they campaign.
What a mess. So I want to get into your book and all that.
Sure, we can talk about whatever.
I know what I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
You were a special agent with Homeland Security, right?
Yes.
You seem so young. How did you get into that, and why did you get out of it at such a young age?
Sure. So so I went to Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. I was there from 2009 to 2013. I graduated in 2013. I got on the job at 20 years old in 2010. I'm 36 now. I was born in 90. And what ended up happening was I was an intern for 3 years. And when I graduated in 2013, I was able to convert from intern, right? They vet you out during the first 3 years or whatever when you're in school, because Northeastern has something called like a co-op program.
Right.
So I was in there with Homeland Security Investigations, or ICE. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and then ICE has two components. There's ERO, Enforcement Removal Operations. Those are guys that actually deport people. Then you got Homeland Security Investigation, HSI, which is like the functional equivalent of the FBI for the DHS. They do everything. We did, you know, human trafficking, human smuggling, gun trafficking, you know, drugs, guns, violent crime, financial crimes, literally everything. So I became an agent in 2013. I went to the academy in 2014, and then I started my first duty station in Laredo, Texas. And I was there from 2014 to 2018, and then from 2018 to 2020, I was in the Miami field office. Now, the reason why I left is because I had started my YouTube channel in 2020, and I started a fitness business as well, and I was like advertising my fitness stuff through my coaching business through YouTube. And as I was doing the fitness stuff, I also started, people started asking me questions about like the ladies, obviously me being in Miami and stuff.
Right.
So I started giving like dating tips and stuff like that too, how to self-improve. And that started, my channel started to take off. And then obviously you have a clearance, you work for the government. I'll never forget, my special agent in charge brings me in the sack, is what we call him. Hey, what are you doing? Your YouTube channel, what's going on here? Pick one, you know, what do you do? And that kind of put me in a weird spot. So I kind of had to pick one, and I ended up having to resign. I didn't want to resign. I wanted to stay, but I couldn't do both at the same time because they pulled my outside employment paperwork. Anyone that works for the government knows, like, you work for the G, you have to do outside employment paperwork. And I had it approved to do my fitness business. But as the YouTube channel started to pull, he was like, hey, I'm pulling your outside employment paperwork. pending, because I had like an internal investigation, because this whole thing with my with me doing the job, they thought I was like recording. I still don't know 100% what it was, but I think it was they thought I was like recording content on my government phone, which I would never do, because you had like a little crappy like iPhone 7 or 6. It's like, dude, I can't record. I was using 4K videos at the time. I was like paying a videographer, so I was like insulted with it when I suspected that's what it was. But the long story short is they're like, dude, look, pick one, because we're going to pull you outside and put in paperwork as this, you know, administrative thing is going on in the background. And I was like, well, I can't do that because I have employees now. I can't wait for 6 months for them to clear this or whatever. And I ended up having to resign because I didn't want to break the rules and like continue to run my business while being an agent without the outside employment paperwork there. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So could you go back to being an agent if you wanted to?
I think at this point, since I'm so controversial, it'd probably be very tough.
No, they're not going to.
Yeah.
That.
So, and it's kind of funny because like I've never done a drug. I'm very square, right? I don't drink. I've never done a drug in my life. You know, I've never committed crimes. I'm really, you know, I don't know fraud anybody. I've been like fairly strategic. I was an athlete in college too, division athlete in college. So, but yeah, I think some of my political views or whatever, I don't know if I'd be able to go back. But, you know, ended up working out for the better because, like, you know, obviously I make significantly more money now. When I was working for the G, I made like $120K per year,
right?
I think it probably it would be a little bit more if I was still there. But, but it was a fun job. I love it, man. Like, I still cover, you know, cases all the time whenever there's a big federal case that happened. Like, some CIA guy got arrested for having, like, 40 gold bars a couple days ago.
I saw that last night.
Yeah. So,
amazing.
You know, yeah, very amazing. So I cover cases like that all the time. I still, you know, keep my, you know, my ear to the telephone when it comes to what's going on to criminal cases and stuff. Because, like, I have such a deep understanding of, like, how the federal system works, because I did a lot of cases when I was on there. So, like, the Diddy trial, when that came out, I went and I sat and I watched the whole thing. It was my old agency, New York field office that did
Diddy.
It. You know, I will tell you, there was lots of lies, against him when he went to trial. For those that don't know, he got charged with human trafficking, right? And RICO and all those other stuff. And I watched the testimony. I was there for all of Cassie's testimony, who was like the star witness for the government, her and a couple other girls. A lot of it was consensual, man. When she was, like, you know, on the stand talking about stuff and everything else like that, she was with him for, like, 10 years. She was saying he would do this, he would do that, he would abuse her. But she was beating him up, too. So, you know, it's one thing to hear what the news says, another thing to sit in that courtroom and listen to all the testimony and the government witnesses. And what ended up happening was the government couldn't actually get him on the human trafficking. They had to get him – what he actually got convicted for was interstate transport of prostitutes. Basically, what he was doing was he was bringing in male prostitutes to have sex with Cassie and some other girls that he was dating. And he would watch it and, you know, do things with it in the background. I won't say too much. I know it's a family show. Nice. But that's basically what he actually ended up getting convicted of, was the interstate transport of prostitutes. So he's basically going to jail for being a cuck. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. You seem to be smart and black and smart, right? Are the black people in North Africa or Sudan, are they smart or something? Because black people are not normally innovated, and not all, of course, but most.
Yeah, the average IQ is 85. And black people get mad at me when I say this. Like, I'm like, yeah, a lot of black people, the average IQ is 85. They're stupid. And people get mad at me for saying that, but it's true.
So are the blacks smart in Sudan?
I think they're also pretty low IQ average as well.
So how did you get to be so smart?
You know,
and you're black.
I appreciate
that. You have good hair.
I appreciate it, Jesse. I don't know. I got good parents, man. I got good parents. Like, they, you know, when I was growing up, even though we didn't have money, like, they always pushed me in school. They always told me not to be a loser. My dad was very, you know, militant with me, you know, inserted quite a bit of discipline. You know, you got to work hard. Because I don't really consider myself, like, that smart. My thing is, I just, like, you know, if I don't know something, I'll try to, you know, make myself better. And I do think that in today's day and age, competency is something that we don't strive for anymore.
That's right, man.
Like, it was unfortunate. Mess. With young men especially.
Yeah.
So I think guys need to really focus on being, like, as competent as possible. You should be able to sit down and have a conversation with people with a multitude of different things and be an interesting person.
Yeah. What a mess. So let me ask, you deal with men and women issues.
Yeah.
All the time.
One of the things we tackle. Yeah.
What is a man?
Well, I think a man is a leader, protector, provider, the, you know, deciding body of any nuclear family. He's the main decider. I think one of the worst things we did was, let women think that they're equal to us in any way. Yeah. I think men are superior to women in almost everything that really matters. A lot of people get angry when I say this. But, you know, I don't think women can really lead a relationship or a partnership. I don't even want to call it a partnership because a partnership implies equality. I don't think they can really lead any type of relationship. And if they do, I think they're going to lead it to the end of the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So you believe in the order of God and Christ, Christ over man, man over woman?
Yeah. No, I do believe in that. I think Islam is a bit different, but like, yeah, the man is the head of the household. You know, the man is the head of the household. He's the decider, you know.
Well, he's the head of the woman, right?
Essentially, yeah, head of the household, the leader. Islam is very similar with the patriarch. You know, the patriarch is the one that, you know, runs things. Just like all the, you know, Abrahamic religions, but yeah.
So in Islam, they believe that the man is over the woman.
Yes, he's the leader.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Why do people get that? Used to be known here in America, especially in the Christianity religion thing.
Yeah.
Why is that so unpopular now?
Well, you know, it's a multitude of different reasons. You know, we can talk about, you know, feminism, birth control, you know, no fault divorce, all of these different factors that kind of came in since then. I'd credit the 1960s as one of the big decades that kind of like pushed in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You add in all this, then you compound the problem with social media, right? Where women are on TikTok all day listening to girls complain in cars about how relationships are bad, you know, why they think they're a princess, why they deserve everything. And, you know, I've interviewed like, you know, almost 4,000 girls on my show. And, you know, as the years go by, I'm realizing that the young women are getting more and more delusional. You know, they're a very average woman, but they think they deserve a top tier guy. And a lot of the reason why it's so skewed is because they're on social media seeing, you know, these successful men are hitting them up on their Instagram DMs. So it's really skewed the perception of reality of like where these women stand in the sexual marketplace and what kind of guy they qualify for. Like the problem, what I've noticed with so many women, and this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, they have access to higher status men via the internet and social media, but they conflate that access with that guy selecting her potentially for a long-term relationship. And they don't know that there's a big discrepancy there,
right,
where a guy just hooking up with you or talking to you or taking you out on dates, that's higher status, not the same as a guy that's going to get down on one knee and actually propose to you and give you a long-term relationship. And women don't realize this until they get, you know, older. And by then, a lot of times, it's too late.
Yeah. Why are men, young and old nowadays, afraid to speak up to women and to correct them when they're wrong and to really stand up and deal with women in the right way? Why are they afraid of women?
I think it's because we live in what I call like a gynocentric social order, right? Me and Rollo Tomasi talk about this quite a bit, where it's like men are still, you know, men are still responsible for like providing the security and like the infrastructure, but like the correct way of thinking, the correct way of looking at things is like the female imperative, like, oh, get in touch with your emotions,
right,
emotional intelligence, blah, blah, all this BS.
True.
And we've civilized the world so much where we let women kind of like tell us how things should be. That's why this whole concept of like toxic masculinity is a thing, right? Misogyny is a thing. People throw it out, but no one ever talks about misandry, which, you know, there was a study that came out not too long ago that like women overwhelmingly dislike men more than men dislike
women. They hate men.
Yeah, they do. And
really?
It's completely socially acceptable. I think there's a podcast out there called like Kill All Men, and it's still out. Could you imagine if there was a podcast out there saying like, you know, kill all women?
Kill
like, that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Like, which, you know, obviously we wouldn't do that, but like, that's what I'm trying to say is like, you know, it's completely socially acceptable to degrade men, not respect men, attack men, ridicule them, say horrible things about them. But it's not okay to criticize anything about women, which I would argue the reason why they're so insufferable, a lot of them, is because they're not criticized and they don't get told the truth.
Yeah.
And if they do, they put us in a box. Oh, you're one of these like crazy red pill manosphere guys, blah, blah. It's like, no, we're just guys that are very honest about this stuff, or they shadow ban you. I'm sure you're no stranger to censorship,
right,
talking about this stuff. So, you know, the correct way of thinking, unfortunately, in today's day and age is the female way of thinking. And I've noticed this even more when I go to the schools. I'll never forget this. I was at the University of Florida, and like, I think a professor came up and debated me. And I was like, well, yeah, men are physically superior to women. And she was like, well, how do you know that? And I was like, do you have a study for that? I was like, really? This is where we are? Like, you know, I need a study to tell you. Yeah, like, you know, I need a study to tell you water's wet. But this is how crazy things have become, where we can't even acknowledge biological realities between the genders anymore.
And it's happening, though, because men are afraid to say no and stand up to the women.
Yeah.
Because if the men were to say no to it, and stand up and speak up, then they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. No. Well, the thing is that no one wants to get called a misogynist. No one wants to get called a bigot, lose their job, be called a jerk or whatever. So a lot of guys are scared of being labeled that too. And they want to get laid. That's the other one.
Let me take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. A quick break. Back in a moment. Amazing.
You earlier on in my life, your recommendation to go and forgive your mother for resenting her, it's the hardest thing that I've ever done, but it was the easiest thing to help me overcome where I've been. My clarity changed overnight. Like, I began to see things different. Sure, you saved my spiritual life, because now I do have a peace, and it's a really weird feeling because there is no feeling.
Right.
But that's
amazing.
How you gotta know that you're in the right place.
Like you said, she couldn't help it. And when you start to look at her mom, or you look at her dad, or you look at that situation, you can see that life just being repeated inside of you. Yeah. And when you decide you want to be the person to step up and make a stand against it, it is going to feel weird because it goes against what you're used to. But as soon as you do it, you look back and wish you did it sooner.
There are men and women waking up. I'm telling you, they want to wake up. If you want to come out of your sleep, you can. But if you don't want it, the spirit of truth will just leave you there. It's up to you. Okay, welcome back. 888-77-JESSE. A couple announcements. Number one, brand new episode of The Fallen State today at 11 a.m. I had a fun conversation with Dr. Che On, and he is an evangelical pastor, and he's running for governor of California. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
So you're running for governor of California.
Yes. The Democratic Party has taken God out. Here I'm a pastor in California, and when I decided to support Trump, people walked out on my sermon. And they're all women.
Of course.
They're all going for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I ended up suing Governor Newsom for locking down the church. He had abortion clinics open, marijuana dispensaries, had liquor stores. This is in the United States.
United States of America.
This is not China.
A brand new episode today at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And you can support The Fallen State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or jesseleepeterson.locals.com. And don't forget, we are celebrating 250 years of America. What the? So don't forget to get your American Hope coin. Watch this. Hi, I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. 2026 marks 250 years of America, and they have put my face on this beautiful silver coin to commemorate this occasion. That's amazing. Call 800-411-2663. That's 800-411-BOND. Grab yours now before they are gone. Go to 800-411-BOND or go to jesseleepeterson.shop. And they're going fast. We only had 250, and they're selling like hotcakes. I'm talking with Myron Gaines, and he is the host of Fresh and Fit podcast, has a brand new book out, Why Women Deserve Less. Tell the folks how to get to your website, your book, and all that before we get rolling.
Yeah, no, so I got two books. I got the first one is Why Women Deserve Less, and the second one is Why Women Deserve Even Less. Book three coming soon, Why Women Deserve Nothing. It's out. It's on Amazon. And, I basically talk about the first book talks about, like, you know, how dating is, you know, in modern day society, and then Why Women Deserve Less is kind of taking it more towards what I predict is going to happen in the future and kind of this new AI era that we're in. Because we're in a transitional period where I think relationships were going to change drastically. I remember literally 10, 15 years ago, if you said you met a girl on, you know, Tinder or Bumble or one of these dating apps, you'd be looked at as a weirdo.
Right.
Now, a majority of relationships are actually formulated on the internet, right? Whether it's through social media or a dating app. And I predict in the future, it's going to get to a point, even women say, oh, I met a guy in the wild today, which means like you met a guy like in real life. So that's almost becoming a novel concept when that's how human beings have always interacted. So I think things are going to, you know, obviously change. I don't think for the better when it comes to relationships, unfortunately, because I don't see women conceding any of the ground. People say, well, you know, do you think we're going to ever get women back in the kitchen? And I'm like, well, dude, honestly, I don't think so, because
especially now that they're being educated and they've been told they're put into leadership roles.
Yeah,
and
they're not
going
to concede anything.
There's no way you're going to turn around.
This actually came up yesterday when I was doing my debates. It's like, hey, do you think we'll be able to like repeal the 19th to get women back in the kitchen? I'm like, listen, man, like, you know, as funny as that would be and great, it's just not going to happen because women are able to do what I call the double dip, where on one end they can, you know, say, I want a traditional household, I want to be a wife or whatever. But on the other hand, they can also choose to enter the workforce or whatever. So they're not going to give up that duality and that ability to kind of, you know, burn the candle at both ends. So I just don't foresee them conceding any of the ground that they've taken over the past, you know, 70, 80 years.
How about if men were to change and they overcome the fear of the woman and excuse me, and they just be themselves and not be concerned about what she think or feel? Will women be forced to return to normal?
That would be optimal, but we would need really strong men that are going to hold the line, say, we don't care about your opinion, right? Yeah. And the thing also is, like, we put politicians in because women actually, you know, turn out to vote a lot more than men do.
Yeah.
So these politicians, this is why they always supplicate to females for the vote.
Absolutely, man. So how do you feel about this situation in Iran?
Okay. Where do you want me to start? You can start with. So, I'll just summarize it. I'll give a quick little summarization, and then, you know, we can have open the dialogue there. But I think that this is a war that was completely avoidable. I don't think it's a good war. I think we got dragged in by the Israelis. I'm not a fan of the state of Israel. I think they've created a lot of problems for us. I think they have hijacked our foreign policy in the Middle East. And I don't think that we should continue to have a partnership and give them the same level of aid and diplomatic cover and everything else we do for them, because I think Israel's like really put us in a very precarious situation politically, diplomatically, economically, geopolitically in general. And it's just I don't see them as an ally whatsoever.
So you don't believe that we should be there in Iran?
No, not at all.
Really? And what's your proof that Israel is the reason we're there?
Well, Marco Rubio admitted it. So a couple of days after the attack in early March, we attacked them, I think, February 28th. Days after, they said, hey, well, why did we do it? And Marco Rubio admitted it. And then he reeled it back. He changed the story a bit. But he said, hey, yeah, we attacked because, you know, we knew the Israelis were going to attack. And, you know, the Iranians knew that they were going to be – ever since the Six-Day War back in June, right, the Iranians knew that either the United States or Israel would attack them again. It was called Operation Rising Lion when the Israelis attacked them back during the 12-day war in June of last year. So, you know, the Israelis have been preparing. The United States have been preparing. Obviously, the Iranians have been preparing. And knowing that they were going to get attacked again, they said, look, if the Israelis attack us, we're going to look at that as an attack by the United States as well. And if the United States attacks us, we're going to look at that as an attack by Israel as well. And we're going to hit both of you back. So us knowing this, the Israelis basically came to the United States. Netanyahu did. He came here 7 times in like 13 months. And he basically was like, look, we have 2 different strategies. We're going to either attack with or without you. And Marco Rubio and Trump, they knew that they were going to attack. So like, you know what? We got to get involved because we know that we're going to get retaliated against as well. And, you know, Trump still went into the war despite his entire intelligence apparatus telling him, like, this is a bad idea. You're not going to get the regime change you think. The people aren't going to hit the streets and do a regime change. You know, it's not going to work. But the Israelis, Trump relied heavily upon Israeli intelligence, and alongside the Israelis wanted an attack, which prompted us to obviously get involved in the war. And now we're stuck in a political quagmire.
Do you believe that Netanyahu controlled Trump?
I think he has an enormous amount of influence. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, he controls Trump all the way, because I think that's a bit disingenuous.
No one controlled the Great White Hope.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say I think he controls him full on, but I do think that he has an enormous amount of influence. And I do think also the donor class has an enormous amount of influence. If you look at someone like Mary Madison, who gave him $100 million on his 2024 campaign. But I do think that he, you know, listens to the Israelis a lot more than he should. He takes their intelligence for more than he should. Because a big part of the reason why we engage, well, besides the fact that they were going to attack anyway, he did rely heavily upon the Israeli intelligence apparatus to make the decision to attack on February 28th.
I hear people complaining that Trump and the Republican Party get money from the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. And they seem to be upset about that. What is wrong with Trump and the Republican Party receiving money from the Jews?
Well, the reason why it's a problem is because a lot of these Jews are Israel first. So, you know, I'll give an example. Like Thomas Massie, he just lost his seat.
And out of Kentucky?
Out of Kentucky. Right. It was the 4th Congressional District.
Right.
They spent over $30 million to get him out of there. Right. Now, and I looked it up, there's less than 1% Jewish population in that area. But since he's been such kind of a thorn on their side, exposing AIPAC, going famously on Tucker's show, talking about AIPAC handler this, AIPAC handler that. Now, a lot of us that like follow politics kind of know this, but this has kind of been an ugly secret that they've been trying to avoid telling people about because they don't want people to know that the United States foreign policy, the United States government in general, is heavily influenced by the Israel lobby. But the issue that I have with this is you have American Jews, a lot of them tend to have dual citizenship. And what ends up happening is these people are Israel first. They're not America first. And an example I'll give of this is you look at someone like a Bill Ackman, right? Lifelong Democrat, Alan Dershowitz, lifelong Democrat. Now that the Democrat Party is, you know, having a lot more anti-Israel rhetoric, they're voting Republican. They're voting, you know, they're abandoning their normal domestic policy in favor of another one.
I still don't understand why do some Republican voters get mad with money that comes from Israel, and because when you're running a campaign,
sure, it's expensive.
You need money to run a campaign.
It's very expensive. Yeah.
On both sides, the Democrats get money from the Jews too.
They do.
I never hear Republicans complaining about that.
So
and why is that?
I make the joke. I say all the time that, like, you know, both parties get money from the
everybody,
Jewish lobby.
Yeah.
Especially at the federal level, because it's going to be very hard to get into the federal level
right.
in politics if you don't support Israel.
Yeah.
But the Democrats, right, they take the money and they pretend they don't. The Republicans openly take it, and they're, like, proud of their relationship with Israel. But the reason why it's such a problem is because these people that are donating the money, they're not donating it to, like, you know, improve the lives of Americans. They're donating it, like me and you, they're donating it for a vested interest in ensuring that, you know— that politician aligns with pro-Israel policies.
Right. But that's the same. It's that way on both parts. The Democrat, they donate to the Democrats for that reason, too.
Yeah.
And when you give a lot of money like that, it's always for something back. You want
of course. It's money with strings attached.
That's what happens.
And that's the problem. And that's precisely the problem because, you know, someone like Amara Madelson isn't going to give Trump $100 million, right, and not expect something in return.
Right.
So, and that puts us in a very precarious situation because now our foreign policy is going to be based on, you know, what donors want that might not necessarily be representative of the American public.
But shouldn't, if the Americans are going to be mad about that, shouldn't they be mad on both sides? I mean, be mad at the Democrats for doing it as well?
Yeah, I'm very critical of both sides. I would say that the Democrats are a little bit further ahead in understanding the problems with the Israel lobby in America. But they're not, you know, they're not innocent either, you know, at all. Both parties absolutely support Israel. And I think that is in of itself a problem, because it's one of the things that's one of the bipartisan things that, like, if there's a bill that's like to benefit Israel, like 90% both sides are like, yeah, let's get this through. Who cares? They'll argue about everything else, health care and all the other things that we battle all the time. But when it comes to Israel policies, both the left and the right absolutely agree and say, yeah, we need to support Israel unequivocally. It's only after October 7th and the genocide and everything we saw happen in Gaza that people really started to, you know, kind of be like, oh, well, I don't know if we can continue to support Israel. Because this has been a topic that's been heavily censored for decades. If you talked about this topic on, you know, YouTube or in the main platforms before October 7th, it was one of the fastest ways to get banned. But now that it's out there and people seeing kids get blown up in 4K, it's very difficult to continue you know, supporting the state of Israel. And this is actually what got me demonetized on YouTube, because I was talking about this stuff for years before October 7th. So, so yeah, well before October 7th. Sorry.
You said that this person gave Trump a lot of money, a Jewish person?
Yeah, her name is Mira Madelson, one
of
them.
And so is it possible that she gave him that money because she trusted him and she wanted him to win, so she supported him? Is it possible she did not do it for just to help out Israel?
Nah, 100% Israel. She's a hardcore Zionist. She's a dual citizen. Her husband, Sheldon Adelson, basically they made their money being like, you know, casino tycoons. And, you know, they obviously are very close with Netanyahu. As a matter of fact, they're witnesses in his criminal case, by the way. Netanyahu is facing a corruption case out of Israel. It's been going on for almost 10 years now. That's another reason why he wants to always be in war, to avoid his criminal investigation that he has on him for taking bribes and stuff like that in
and
Israel.
How do you know that's true?
That she's one of the main witnesses?
No, that about Netanyahu.
Oh, it's public. He's been under investigation for a long time for corruption in Israel.
But Trump is being accused for corruption, too, and they find out it's not true.
Oh.
And men who really stand up, and I don't know what's happening in Israel, if that happened or not, but I know that when men stand up
sure.
for what is right,
yeah.
the attack comes from everywhere.
Sure,
people make up stuff, and all kind of stuff happens. Because men represent God on earth. They're sons of God, right? Mm-hmm. And evil hate the Son of God, since evil cannot touch God. It goes after his son. And so whenever men stand up, like Netanyahu and my dream team, by the way, have you heard of my dream team?
No, tell me the
Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin.
Okay.
The dream team.
That's the dream team?
and when they stand up, when they stand up for what is right, everybody, not everyone, but they're being attacked to knock them back down. So a lot of this stuff is just made up about Netanyahu and Putin and Trump.
So
because they stand up.
Now, when it comes to Putin, I do think that he's very misunderstood, and I do think that he has a pretty – people don't like when I say this, but I do think that the invasion of Ukraine, given his position strategically, national security perspective, I see why they did what they did. But when it comes to Netanyahu, the guy is corrupt. He's been caught, you know, multiple times, you know, sabotaging the Oslo Accords, admitting it. You know, Netanyahu, you know, we know that he's more than likely taking these bribes. They brought Arnon Milchan in. Mario Madelson, everything else like that. There was a whole documentary talking about this. And I do understand what you're saying. You know, people that are, you know, stand on 2 feet and are very critical of certain things, they tend to be persecuted.
Right.
I get
Absolutely.
That. But when it comes to someone like Netanyahu, I mean, the guy just got done annihilating, you know, the Gaza Strip with, you know, 2 million plus people in there with 50% of them being kids. You know, the guy did a genocide, basically. He's wanted for war crimes, you know, with the blockade and starvation and everything else like that. So I don't think I do think if you have the ability and the willingness to kill innocent people, I don't think I could put it past you that you wouldn't also be corrupt by taking money.
We don't know if that's true, because over in Gaza, the Allahu Akbar people put their the Allahu Akbar people put their own people in harm's way to get killed, and then they accuse Israel of doing it, but not saying that they put them in hospitals. They put them, they set it up where their own people could be killed.
Oh, the human shield fallacy.
Right.
Yeah, so that's not really true.
Do you believe that?
No.
Why don't you believe that?
No. Because the Israelis, like, they'll lie, right? They'll lie. They'll sit there and say, oh,
but
yeah.
I know people from there that told me that
IDF soldiers?
They know some Aluaba people who I'm friends with, very close friends
yeah.
with, and they came from those places, and they said that that does happen.
Well,
so that they can use propaganda against Israel or the United States that they did it when they really put their own people in harm's way.
Yeah. So the thing is, and it's kind of funny because Israel says this too. They'll sit there and they'll say, "Oh yeah, we you know, we're going after Hamas. We're going after Hamas." Okay, if you're going after Hamas and you know that they're in underground tunnels, why are you blowing up hospitals and blowing up civilian infrastructure, right? You know, they've said that, oh, yeah, Hamas is set up at this hospital. They're set up at this hospital. Not really. That's not true. Tucker actually did an interview. I think it was dropped a day or two before. And there was like a heart surgeon was it, or a cancer surgeon or a cancer doctor that was there. And he had been in all the hospitals. Like, look, I've walked through every nook and cranny of these hospitals. And Hamas isn't there, as well as many other of these doctors that have, like, you know, because they bring doctors in from all over the world to help out with the humanitarian crisis.
Yeah.
And pretty much all of them were like, yeah, no, like, I've never seen Hamas there. They don't have bases like they claim. That's a lot of that is Israeli propaganda to justify bombing civilians.
So much I want to get to you.
Sure,
about.
Sure, sure.
And we're running out of time. Let me ask, would Trump support Israel if they did not give him money?
I don't think he'd support them to this extent. He'd probably still support them, yeah. But I don't think that he would support them to this extent. And he did a lot of unorthodox things that have kind of like prompted this war as well in his first administration, moving embassy, the Abraham Accords. A lot of right. these things actually preempted October 7th and led to October 7th happening.
And so do you know that Israel and Israel is our friend and that America and Israel have been one ever since Israel came about? And that they were our allies in that area, and that Christianity and Judaism, if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. So they're like brothers. And so
I respectfully disagree with that.
But it's been that way forever. America and Israel have been allies forever because of Christianity and Judaism. Did you know that?
Well, they reject the divinity of Christ. They spit on Christians in Jerusalem.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I know we've been like allies with them.
Allied and
for
and,
sure,
and,
yeah.
And does that count for anything?
No. Because
would you turn on your friend?
It's not a, well. So the thing is that you know if my friend is putting me in a precarious situation where I'm constantly getting attacked and or I've lost my you know reputation, world standing, and my honor. Because of their poor behavior, I don't think that's really a friend anymore. And I think that I think Israel, our partnership, doesn't benefit us.
We don't want to do.
I don't know about that. I think this war was one of the things that we didn't really, you know, we were contemplating, you know, doing it. Every president, you know, since I think Jimmy Carter, the Israelis have been trying to get us to attack Iran every time, and every president kind of knew this isn't a good idea. We probably shouldn't do it. And then you know, Trump fell for it, which was I think very moronic. But I don't think Israel's our greatest side. I think they've put us in a very bad spot politically.
Because of time, let me ask you about this guy, Chud, the builder.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he's in jail, and he's known for going around to the blacks and calling using the N-word. Right? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
He used the N-word, and apparently a situation happened where he had to use a gun according to report, and now he is in jail for shooting. Being accused of shooting a black.
Yeah.
What do you think about his situation? And should he have been going around using the N-word to the blacks like that?
Yeah, sure. No, I could definitely talk. And one last thing I wanted to say about the Israel thing.
Okay.
I think the last president that stood up to the Israel lobby was John F. Kennedy. And he got killed for that, right? We, you know, they stole nuclear weapons from us. They stole uranium. The Israelis, you know, they put us in a very precarious situation. The U.S. is liberty, et cetera. There's so many other different things.
And where is John F. Kennedy now?
He's dead.
I rest my case.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I think that's what I'm saying. He was killed because of his opposition to the state of Israel.
I rest my case.
Yeah, but, and I think that's one of the, that's another thing too. But that, I'll go to Chud. But there's right. And I apologize because like this is such a huge complex topic when it comes to Israel and our relationship. I cover it all the time.
Right.
And I know we're short for time here, so I'll move on to the Chud stuff. But when it comes to Chud the Builder, I think he's innocent. I think it's a self-defense case. I think the fact pattern supports that he has a very strong self-defense case. When it comes to going and antagonizing people on the internet, do I agree with that? No. However, I do think that he still has a right to defend himself. I do believe in the Second Amendment. And if we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything, and we can't get mad at people's political views and say that they can't defend themselves.
Do you love the Jews?
Not Israel. Non-Zionist Jews I support.
So do you love the Jews?
I don't have a problem with Jewish people. Not at all.
Israel,
I have a problem with Zionists.
Just a location, right?
Yeah.
But do you love the Jews?
Non-Zionist Jews.
Oh, man. Hold on a minute. Let me take a quick break.
Sure.
And when I come back, we'll tell about the book, and then I have to let you go.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, hold on. Back in a moment, folks.
Word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like a thousand. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
All kinds of mess going on in this whole world. This is the end of hour two already of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Express Yourself Friday, the 29th of May, AD 2026. And there is one line open. You can call in right now. JLP will be right back to your calls after wrapping things up with guest Myron Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S, Myron Gaines, X on X, by the way. And we'll get to your super chats and more great stories and your calls. But it is hate news, not fake news. Far left extremists off the deep end. AP News reports tomatoes became the latest symbol of America's affordability squeeze. Prices for tomatoes up 40%, more than any other food product over the past year. Experts say the spike is a result of crop yields. I guess the crop yields weren't that great. Also, the Iran war and our greatest president, Donald J. Trump's tariffs. Not everything turns out well with any action that you take. The war spiked gas prices and increased shipping costs. Meanwhile, the U.S. withdrew from a deal allowing duty-free imports of tomatoes from Mexico, which grows most of America's supply. Tomatoes were slapped with a 17% tariff per AP as the cost trickles down. Outraged consumers are voicing their displeasure on the internet online. The impact has been most pronounced for businesses that rely on tomatoes as a key ingredient for their kitchens. Wayne Humphrey, for example, chief operating officer of Snarf's Sandwiches, ever heard of it? Operates dozens of stores in Colorado, Missouri, and Texas. He says tomatoes will cost him an additional $1.7 million annually. Wow. And a little supposed fact check from AP on the reflecting pool that Trump has been touting. He said that Biden had estimates of $300 million, whereas he's only doing it for $1.5 million to fix the reflecting pool. It's like 100 years old-ish, something like that. Trump said that Obama and Biden, according to AP, spent, quote, hundreds of millions, unquote, of dollars on the reflecting pool. AP says they did not. During a cabinet meeting Wednesday this week, President Trump claimed that the Obama and Biden administrations spent hundreds of millions of dollars, quote unquote, to fix the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool over in D.C. Beautiful thing. But this is false. The Obama administration spent at least $34 million on a massive two-year reconstruction project that ended in 2012. No major repairs to the pool were done during the Biden administration, although I think they may have gotten quotes, according to Trump, for $300 million, I heard. But anyway, they don't mention that. Trump has put the cost of his administration's work on the pool at $1.5 to $2 million, but records show at least $14.8 million worth of contracts have been awarded for that project so far. We'll see what the truth is, I guess. Maybe, maybe not. A stalemate in Ukraine and discontent at home for Russia. Putin seems ready to escalate his war amid a stagnating economy and growing war fatigue among Russians. The government's warning to carry to carry out consistent and systematic missile strikes on Kiev and call for evacuating foreign embassies from the capital, signaled President Vladimir Putin's intention to expand Russia's campaign. The Iran war, meanwhile, has effectively put U.S. mediation efforts in Ukraine on hold and drained American missile arsenals, delaying the delivery of U.S.-made Patriot missiles that Ukraine, according to AP, desperately needs to fend off Russian attacks. Moscow-based military analyst Sergei Polataev, pardon me if I'm butchering his name, said that Russia sees the shortage of air missiles in Kiev as an opportunity. So what a mess, huh? Instead of ending wars, war's getting crazy, even with our greatest President Trump. Shrey Parikh, a young man named Shrey, S-H-R-E-Y, Parikh, P-A-R-I-K-H, won the Spelling Bee. 14 years old. Congratulations. The National Spelling Bee. Scripps. I'm James Hake, JLP, Hour 3.
Stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way. Stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, has the Christ resurrected in you? Has the Christ resurrected in you? Amazing. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're running around and you just got to go work out or go to work, but you would love to continue to listen to the show, you can podcast anywhere in the world and listen on your phone. It's been made possible by phone calling. Call the listen line at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLPTalk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLPTalk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It is Friday. And every Friday, get it off your chest day, relax day. Every Friday is Express Yourself Friday.
Tom, like a mug. You need to go and get yourself bleached, because everything you say about black people, and you're sitting up there looking like a tar baby.
It might sound like a semantics argument, but he's a gray alien.
I wonder if he's been smoking pot.
It's good to talk to you again. I called a couple of days ago and told you a little bit about being attacked in downtown Pittsburgh.
Says he was attacked in downtown Pittsburgh by half a dozen teenagers.
By some teenagers?
Yep.
What could that possibly mean?
A man who didn't want to be identified tried to escape from a group of teenagers who attacked him.
And they was trying to steal or something, and you yelled at them and told them to get out, and instead they jumped you.
Yeah.
The victim says the teens surrounded him, punching, kicking, and threatening him.
First is I want a 5,000-word essay written in cursive on the quadratic equation.
I've got about 100 teens dispersing south of Roosevelt Loomis.
I want a home-cooked meal at each one of their houses and get a chance to meet them.
This car just ran through a whole crowd of Chicago police officers.
Maybe you'd like to rethink your position.
What a mess! I have with me Myron, and is here, and we're going to wind this down, folks. And then I'll get to your calls about other stuff here. Very, very interesting conversation, man. Time going by so fast. We're going to have you back.
No, for sure, for sure. And, you know, obviously, you know, I understand that I probably hold some polarizing views, and people might say, well, what is he saying about this stuff, Wizard, blah, blah. Obviously, you know, time is constrained, but I'd be happy. Yeah, another week could definitely go ahead and, you know, really, you know, elucidate some of the points that I was making, because it's a very, you know, complex, you know, situation when it comes to Middle Eastern foreign policy and everything else like that, which is why I have the views that I do when it comes to Israel and our support of them.
Myron Gain he's the host of Fresh and Fit podcast, and he's a writer, number one book right now, Why Women Deserve Less. I got to ask him about that. Why do women deserve less?
Well,
what does that mean, they deserve less?
So I talk about giving them less time, attention. Like on the cover of the book, for example, like I have like, you know, the ring and then the time and then the social media and then the money. And this is, you know, Why I'm Deserve Even Less, book number two. Book one was Why I'm Deserve Less, and the second one is Why I'm Deserve Even Less. That's updated. but yeah, no, I mean, I want guys to kind of understand that the dating game has changed, women have changed, and you have to adapt your strategy accordingly. And, you know, I think right now we live in some of the most competitive times when it comes to finding a partner for guys. You know, we know a lot of guys are struggling, young men. The women that we, you know, our mothers are, you know, our moms, our grandmas, et cetera, these are women from a different era. The women of today, a lot of these young men are dealing with, are completely different.
Things have changed, that's for sure. How can people get to your book?
They get on Amazon. They can go on Amazon and grab it.
Okay.
Yeah, just type in Why I Deserve Less. It'll come right up, both books.
And your podcast is what?
So I do Fresh and Fit, where, you know, we do male self-improvement, teach guys how to make money, how to be attractive, everything else like that. We do that Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Then we do the after-hour show with the girls, which, you know, that goes viral all the time whenever we have the girls on and we do debates.
Right.
And then I do my own show, political slash cultural commentary show called The Debrief. I do that every day. I stream that on Kick Monday through pretty much Friday. And then so sometimes I do it every day, or I'll do every day except for Saturday.
So let me ask, and then I really got to end this.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you agree with me that the Great White Hope, you know who the Great White Hope is, right?
You're talking about Trump, I think?
Yes.
Okay.
Some people call him amazing. Mm-hmm. What manner of man is this? They say, the wind and the sea obeys him. Some people call him king, and they worship the king. They have rallies. You know about that, right?
Well, like MAGA, Trump rallies?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, look, I voted for...
Some people call him daddy.
I want to go that far.
I call him the Great White Hope.
The Great White Hope, okay.
Great White Hope. Do you agree that he is the best president that we've ever had?
No, unfortunately. Though I do like Donald Trump. I think he's the funniest and most entertaining president we've ever had. I think he's going to go down in history as by far, you know, the president most responsible probably for getting people interested in politics and making politics interesting again.
Don't believe he's the best one we ever had?
You know, Look, I like Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump. You know, I think he's hilarious. You know, I'm not a hater, but I really dislike this war in Iran. This war in Iran has been something that really kind of bothered me. He campaigned on no new wars. I feel he betrayed his base on that topic. We didn't get the mass deportations that we voted for. He kind of pulled out of the ICE raids.
But we're getting it. And then people are trying to stop it. The Democrats are trying to stop it.
They are. And I think he should have kept going. Like, he stopped the surge in Minneapolis. Like, I think he should have kept doing it. You know, I think ICE, you know, when it comes to Renee Good and the Alex Pretty shootings, they were justified in that. You know, Alex Pretty and Renee Good were, you know, violating the law when that happened.
Yeah.
I'm very pro-immigration enforcement. You know, I think he should have stuck with what he campaigned on. But, you know, dragging us into a war in Iran, which serves almost zero strategic benefit, and I think it's created more problems than assistance, it really doesn't benefit us and has put us in a weird spot. I mean, gas right now in L.A. as we speak is about $7 a gallon, which is insane. I don't think the American, the average American family, you know, will be able to sustain that for much longer. So like Donald Trump, I got to be very critical of some of the things that he's done. When he does good stuff, I praise him. When he does dumb stuff, I call it out.
Amazing. I hear people complaining about the gas prices and the food, right, and things like that. But we just had a holiday. What was that?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. Everybody and their mama, they mama if you're black, their mama if you're white, they were traveling. It was one of the busiest time ever.
Yeah.
People flying all over the world. They traveling in their cars and everything. If people, why is it that people complain about gas prices and food prices, but yet they won't make any sacrifices when it comes to feeding their egos?
Well, I mean, obviously it's on a case-by-case basis, right? Everyone is different. But I do think that, you know, the higher energy costs, which obviously, you know, because fertilizer is not getting through, the Strait of Hormuz is closed, 20% of the world's gas and energy is being pretty much, you know, it's almost been like, I don't want to say it's dropped off, but like, you know, we haven't been able to do a trade, which is why the price is going up.
Marion, why, how is that? Oh, I'm going on vacation. I'm not going to let it stop me from having fun.
Yeah, for the people that have expendable income, but lots of people.
Why don't they make that sacrifice? You see what I mean? They're complaining about gas prices, but when it's some time to feed the ego, they'll spend whatever it takes to make themselves feel good.
You know, I'm sure there's people out there that have the expendable income and, like, they might complain because it's like, yeah, it's an added bill. But I do think there's lots of families out there that are struggling, you know, and can't make ends meet because of these increased, you know, living expenses that were completely unavoidable. That's the biggest thing is, like, this was completely unavoidable. Sorry, completely avoidable.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
With all that is within me, I guarantee you. You're not going to find one family that cannot put gas in their car to go wherever they want to go. You're not going to find one family that's hungry. They're all still fat and sassy. You're not going to find one family that want a roof over their head that doesn't have a roof over their head. They're just bitching because other people are bitching. But they're still going about their lives while bitching because somebody else is bitching. Do you agree?
No, I think there are people that are really struggling, man.
Like
I do think. I do think. There's
maybe
lots of.
Maybe Jessica's dad is not suffering.
I think, you know, maybe for us, right, we're blessed to be in the entertainment industry and everything, and we're doing okay. But I do think that the common American is probably struggling with with the higher cost of living.
I guarantee you they're not.
I think they are.
Travel around and see.
I think they are. I mean, we could agree to disagree on that one. Right. But I do think that the higher cost of living off of gas prices and food and everything else from the Strait of Hormuz being closed is hurting a lot of Americans.
Amazing. Do you believe? Oh, let me ask this. My last
sure.
question.
Sure.
Do you have anger?
No.
You have no anger.
No.
You never get angry.
I mean, everybody gets angry at times, right? But I mean, right now I'm. I'm not.
No, I know you're not angry right now.
But yeah.
Do you get angry?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody does.
And no, how about you?
Yeah, of course. I do my best to control it, though.
What would happen if you dropped your anger and be totally free of anger and emotions and all that kind of stuff? What would happen if you drop the anger and be free from it?
I think, you know, being able to control your emotions is a very,
control them, but overcome them completely and then operate from love rather than hate, rather than emotion, because emotions are evil.
No, I agree.
And so what would happen if you dropped your emotion and operated from love?
Well, that's obviously the ideal situation, right? You know, I think, you know, emotions are inherent to human beings. And I think as a man, your measurement as a man is your ability to control them, right? Women are encouraged to be emotional, men are not, right. Which I think it comes for a reason, because emotional men tend to end up in jail because they can't control their emotions.
It's abnormal for men to be emotional.
Yeah, it's not good.
Right.
It's not good.
And so what would happen if you never got angry again? You're free of it. That spirit of anger is not inside of you at all. What would happen, you think?
I do think there are times where anger can be good if you channel it the correct way and use it as a motivation tool, which I tend to try to do. If I do get angry, I'm like, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to use it to work hard. I do think, but yeah, it's like a gun, right? It's a tool. If you know how to use it properly, you can, you know, defend those that you love and use it for good. But if you don't use it for good, then, you know, you can be using it horribly and hurting people. So
God said, and it's true, that anger, anyone that has anger is a murderer. and that you should not trust an angry person because they're evil, and that we should overcome anger with good. Do you agree with God on that one?
Yeah, or if you are going to get that anger, use it and channel it towards positivity. Use it as motivation and fuel to the fire.
Do you create your own thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that separates us from...
You create your own thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we're sentient beings. We're able to... You
Tell
know,
me how you create thoughts.
You think? I mean, you think, and then you kind of interpret things, and you kind of, you know, go off, you know, you put that against your past experiences, your morality, you know, how you're brought up, your religious beliefs.
Tell me how you create the first three steps of creating a thought. How do you do that?
I guess something pops into your head. You evaluate it based on your morals and your standards, how you've...
I know, but if it pops into your head, it's popping in on its own, right?
Yeah, and then you filter and you're like, good idea, bad idea.
And so if it's popping in on its own, who created that thought that popped in on its own?
Oh, you mean like God?
No, I'm just saying, do you create your own thoughts?
I think so, yeah, probably, yeah.
And if you create... But you can't tell me how you do it. If you create them, mm-hmm. can't you tell me the steps of creating thoughts?
I think I see where you're going here. Like, if you create the thought, which means you could probably create the anger. Is that kind of where?
No, what I'm saying is
trying to follow.
We don't create our own thought.
Okay.
No one has ever created their own thoughts.
Okay. Who do you think creates it then?
They come from evil.
Okay.
I mean, just think about this. If we create our own thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we create all thought that made us feel, the individual feel good and happy? You would never have fear. You never have anger. You would never have doubt if we create our own thoughts.
Okay.
And so is it possible that human beings, none of us, create our own thoughts?
That's an interesting perspective. I've never heard that before.
You never heard that?
I've never heard that before. But no, that's it. That's why I was kind of trying to get your perspective. That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
We don't create thoughts.
Okay. So you're saying evil creates thoughts?
Yes. They are not from God, and they are not from the individual, him or herself. They are from evil. And that's why we got to overcome
that. Even if it's a good thought, like if someone comes to mind, like, I want to do charity, do you think that, like, comes from evil?
No such thing as good thought.
Okay.
All thoughts are evil. The ones that make you feel good and the ones that make you feel bad. You feel up, you're happy, right? As soon as you're happy, going around, there's a thought come, and now you're down.
Okay.
And then now you got to... hope for another thought that build you up again. You got to do something that makes yourself feel better.
What if you get like a positive thought, like, I want to do charity? Would that still be considered like, and I'm trying to understand. Right. I'm asking to understand. Yeah.
No, if you have a positive thought of doing charity, that's an evil thought because it's to make you feel good. It's not for the other person.
Okay. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, make you feel important. Or feel good,
so you're saying even if it's like a good thought on paper, it's for ulterior motives that are based in evil.
All thoughts are for ulterior motive.
Okay,
it's never about the other person. That's why all mothers hate their children, and they treat their children. They turn them away from the fathers because
that happens a lot.
That
happens a lot, actually.
Mothers are selfish. It's all about themselves. Mm. And never about the children or the father or the husband or anything. All about because they live, and so do men. They live in their imagination until they overcome it. And the only way that they're going to that men and women go to overcome thoughts, they got to see that they're not their own thoughts. They don't create them, and that the anger that they have came from the mother. And you become like what you hate, and you become attracted to what you hate. And you got to see that that's wrong, and then go and forgive your mother for recreating you in her image, turning you away from your father, and then forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. Because every man married his mother. He married what he hate. And so he become the boy, she become the wife, become the mother. And the cycle repeats itself. But when you overcome your mother, God would take that mother spirit out of you and give you back your identity. Then you won't have that fear of the woman.
What if your mom, like, if you grew up, and again, I'm asking this to understand.
Of course.
So what if, like, you grew up and your mom was, like, very, like, you know, listen to your father, listen to your father. Hey, your father's the, you know, the boss here, whatever. What about that? Because I see your perspective, which I agree. A lot of women demonize, them, especially in divorces, right? Like, your dad was a POS, is the reason why I'm not with him no more. And they demonize him, which is, you know, very common, especially in the West. But, like, what if the mom was like, you know, listen to your dad, like your dad.
And if you, if she, let's say she said, listen to your father, right? Mm-hmm. But in her heart, she resent your father.
Okay.
And her spirit, the kids would still know that the mother really doesn't like the father and that she really resent him. And he or she's going to resent the mother for that. But you become like what you hate. So they'll start seeing the father in the way the mother sees the father. Because a mother can say, oh, listen to your father, but secretly she resent the father. And she's always in a cunning kind of a way, turning the children away from the father, even when he doesn't know it. But the kids would know, they just don't know how to deal with that hell that's in the mother. So and the moment you become angry, you become just like your mother. You start thinking like her, become emotional like her.
Erratic.
Yeah, you become like what you hate. And it's never going to change until you can admit, I do resent my mother. She was controlling or she was too mothery or nicey. It was all evil. And I realized now that she couldn't help herself, I'm going to go and forgive her. And when you say, hey, mother, I'm sorry for resenting you, for turning me away from my father or being so emotional or trying to control whatever the situation is, don't ask for forgiveness, but forgive her, and then God will forgive you. And he would change everything.
Interesting perspective. I mean, he would change and I've talked a lot about I think women are naturally narcissistic and naturally solipsistic because they have to be since they carry children. You know what
I mean? They are daughters of Satan.
You know what? I'm not even going to argue. You know, I do think—
Until they return to the father, until they forgive their mother and return to God, their earthly father and to God. But hell come through the woman. The gates of hell come through the woman. All women. It doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to or don't belong to. It doesn't matter how old you are. All women, until they overcome by forgiving their mothers and return to the father, then the gates of hell come through her. Evil come through the woman. And that's why any man that has anger, he get mad and act like a woman. He doesn't protect. He doesn't really stand up. Because he has the mindset of his mother and emotion. Emotions are not from God at all. They're all evil.
Fair. No, I mean, that's a very, and I'm assuming this probably comes from the Bible.
It's in the Word.
Yeah, so, no, I would agree with a lot of that. You know, I've talked a lot about how, you know, women create inherent problems and, you know, behaving like a woman as a man is completely unacceptable, being emotional, being erratic. And we got prisons for those guys. Those guys acted like a woman, acted on their first thing. And, you know, the difference between men and women is, like, men are capable. So if a guy's angry, right, he can actually effectuate some real violence and cause some real damage, right? So jail is filled with a bunch of emotional men that made a really bad decision based on emotions. And I do agree with you that I do think that women are inherently extremely narcissistic and solipsistic because obviously they have to be for their own self-preservation, and then obviously they carry children and everything, and that is a big reason too why I think like they need to defer to male authority.
That way because of their father, the devil.
Okay.
That's why they must be born again of God.
All right.
And
no,
they do that by forgiving. What the? What a mess, huh?
I think we both identified the same problem.
Hey, come with we have a super chat for you.
Yeah, sure.
And did you want to finish the statement you're about to make?
No. I agree with a lot of that. Like I said before, you're articulating it in a different manner. But no, I would agree with a lot of that.
Yeah.
But sorry, the super chat?
Men used to not be emotional.
I agree.
Women told men to be emotional.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to be emotional. You need that feminine thing.
Open up. Talk to me. Blah, blah, blah. That's all. I always say that's a trap. Never open up to your girl ever.
I rest my case.
Yeah. It's a trap.
A man should never... Never, under any circumstance, tell a woman his issues. His problems.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think I should cry in front of a girl. I don't think you should tell them the problem. Women are simply not equipped.
Him forever.
She will. And not only that, they're not equipped to handle our problems.
Right.
At all. Like, you know, I always tell people, like, women live life on easy mode. You know, you don't ask someone who lives life on easy mode, you know, how to deal with hard mode problems.
That's right.
So, no, I'm a big believer in that. And that's a big reason why I say guys need to be the leader. Because if the girl's the leader, like, well, you have a more divine reason why they can't be leader. You know, I go off biology, whatever, but I think we're coming to the same conclusion here.
Right.
That, you know, if women are put in a leadership role, you're cruising for a bruising.
Absolutely. I like that. Super. You have Super Tapper.
Yep.
Okay.
Eric with five coffees asks Myron Gaines a question.
Sure.
Is it really women don't know or they don't care? Today's women are overt about what their mothers would have kept secret. Isn't it the new female deception strategy, behaving completely ignorant that their behavior is unacceptable? It's impossible to be that dumb.
Yeah, no, I think it's both. So we've gotten to a point now. It used to be, right, women used to be a bit more women used to be a lot more, you know, covert in their behaviors, right?
Yes.
They would back in like when that song came out, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Right.
Fairly ambiguous. We just want to have fun. But then now we know having fun means, you know, being a 304, right? Being promiscuous, you know, partying, doing drugs, whatever. And as feminism has become more prominent and women are getting more educated, women are making more money and women are entering the workforce and everything, they can be a bit more overt with their, you know, poor behaviors.
Yeah.
If you look on TikTok, for example, TikTok has been a fantastic social experiment to like really understand and figure out female nature, how they behave. It's like they're almost telling on themselves. So I do think they're aware of what's going on. They're aware that a lot of them behave very poorly. They're aware that a lot of them don't qualify for a long-term relationship. It's just that there's not enough negative reinforcement for poor female behavior. I think that's the big problem. We've removed all the things that used to keep women in check, the father, the church, religious institutions, shame, society, her peer group. Like, we've removed all of these things that used to keep women from making bad decisions.
Yeah.
And I would argue a big part of feminism isn't just about female freedom. It's about removing shame from poor female behavior and not hold them accountable for poor female behavior. And that's a big part. That's why, like, you get the Sister Ubralis. Like, if I say something along the lines of, well, I think that, you know, this is bad, you shouldn't do this, when ladies, whatever. Like, let's say we have the abortion discussion, right? You say, look, I don't agree with abortion. I think it's bad. It's a crime against humanity, whatever. Even a woman who's a conservative, a lot of the times, will sit there and side with the woman that wants to do abortion, because women have this sisterhood or Ubralis where it's like, well, though I might not agree with her on this, I want to still be able to reserve the right to have that that open to me in the future should I want that.
True, man.
So they will agree with each other even if it goes against their principles, because it's like it's in their nature to be communitarian. It's in their nature to be of the collective, because women don't have the ability to fight to defend their belief system with their fists like we do. So since they don't have that ability to actually effectuate change physically like we can, they must go off of what everyone else is saying. They must follow the herd. So that is one of the fundamental differences between men and women, where women can't stand on anything like men can.
In the good old days.
The majority can't.
In the good old days, where men were men, boys were boys and men were men, women would not even work for another woman. They would say, no, I'm not working for no woman. They wouldn't even work for another woman.
And if you poll, I think there was a poll that came out not too long ago where they asked women, would you prefer to have a male boss or female boss? Yeah. Overwhelmingly, none of them wanted to work for a woman.
That's right. What a mess.
It doesn't make sense.
Yes, hey.
Little Paycheck says, Little Paycheck, the Dream Team, Myron, Jesse, Pearl, and he lists many more.
Right on.
Very kind.
Do you know that we have an anchor baby on the network?
Oh, you do?
He has his own show. You know what an anchor baby is?
Yes.
What is it?
Someone like a Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, that's the anchor baby over there.
Yeah?
Hey.
Okay.
American anchor baby.
Nice. Your mom crossed the border and just had you over here?
Basically.
And now you're still, okay. Now he's here.
Well, yeah, basically.
And he's hired from ICE.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's tough. Now they know where we're at. Well, now he's not hiding anymore.
Right.
Now they
Plus
know.
Plus, he has his own show. His show is every day at 11 a.m. Pacific time. The American anchor baby.
If they deport me, I'll go with a smile. Don't worry. I'll go with a
smile. Well, you're born here, so you're good.
Smile.
You're born here, so you're good.
Right. I'm messing around.
Yeah.
But when I become president, I'm getting rid of all the anchor babies. True.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Then I'm gone. I'm just kidding.
Are you an anchor baby?
No. My parents were actually citizens, I think, by the time they had me, or they were at least green card holders.
Right on.
Yeah.
Amazing. Is here?
Yeah, Mike Young says, hey, Myron, have Jesse on your show with the ladies after hours.
I'd love to. I'd love to. If he could come out to Miami, we can make it happen, put you on with some girls. It'd be hilarious.
Right on.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It would be very amazing.
Amazing. Yes, sir.
Eric says, question for Myron Gaines. Sure. Your mother warning you about the behavior of American women provided you insight that most mothers' egos unwilling to divulge. How much do you credit her influence to your success?
I always, you know, it's funny because women will sit there and they'll be like, oh, what's your relationship like with your mom? Like, did your mom, like, you're such a misogynist. Why do you say these horrible things? Isn't your mom a woman? And like, who taught you this? And it's always funny because I always catch them off guard. I'm like, actually, you want to know something funny? It was my mom that told me not to trust you women. So,
right on.
It was my mom. Because my mom, you know, you grew up in a Muslim household, right? Like, you know, she grew up in Sudan. The women were different, right? Like, I remember she would vividly tell me, like, yo, don't marry an American woman because she's not going to want to cook and clean for you. She's not going to adhere to her duties, whatever. And I just think to myself, like, Mom, what's wrong with you? Get out of here. But, like, as I've gotten older and older, she's correct. Like, women have completely, you know, absolved themselves of traditional female responsibilities.
Amazing. Real fast. Hey.
Imported TV. Myron encourages to give women less attention because he resents them. Thus, he still has anger. Beta male, says Imported TV.
Yeah, of course, he's a simp. It's just about being pragmatic, and giving women free attention is not conducive to a good relationship. So, but he's a simp. He doesn't know.
Amazing. Thank you, man. That was fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a good time.
We'll have you back.
Absolutely. We'll make it happen. Right. Thank you guys for having me on.
I'll be right back, folks. A half hour to go. I'm back in a moment. Stretch Off is now open on pules.net. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, welcome back. Amazing discussion with Myron there. And so check him out, Myron Gaines. And he's the host of Fresh and Fit podcast. Check him out. Very smart guy. Amazing. I want to, let me just say the Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com. And after the Hake Report, a brand new episode of the FallenState.tv. Be sure to check that out at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And check out Punchy.tv with Bill. He did a brand new show on Wednesday, Punchy.tv, all right, with Bill. And then the American Anchor Baby, right after the FallenState.tv, the American Anchor Baby. And I'll see you on Sunday morning. I will see you on Sunday. Doors open at 10:30. Meeting starts at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/church. All right? Amazing. Let me go to Alex, a first-time caller out of Missouri. Let's see here. Alex, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Alex.
How are you?
All is well.
I was just calling to get something off my chest.
Alex, are you on a speaker or something?
I'm at work right now, so.
Oh, okay.
I'll speak
right at speak. stay close to your phone, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you able to hear me?
I can now, yes.
Okay. Kind of on topic with Myron being on, my wife left me after we moved, and life got easier and boring, you know.
How long had you been married?
13 years.
Okay. You having any children with her?
We adopted her cousins when they were 8 and 4. And then we had 2 kids in the past 5 years.
Oh, okay. And so she left you. And do you have a question or comment about it?
I guess mostly if I reacted in the way that I should have.
And how did you react?
Yeah. Well, I didn't do much. She told me, and I kind of sat with it and just lived my life and took care of the kids. And then things started happening. Like, she decided that she wanted to be with the guy and move out, and her parents, like, they have their little war where they didn't like what she did, and she's not really, she doesn't have any remorse for it or anything. She's kind of proud of what she did. So.
Right. So you kept the kids? Yeah. She took the suitcase and you kept the kids?
Not exactly. We're in the same town. We share the kids.
Oh, okay.
Custody-wise.
All right.
But I just didn't make a fight or anything. Like, if she went to a guy that has he's got 2 other baby mamas, and
amazing,
they're going to have 8 kids total. sounds like a bunch of chaos to me.
Yeah. It sounded like you dealt with it perfectly, because when people come in and out of your life, whether married or friendships or whatever, you're not supposed to feel anything about it at all. If they want to leave, your wife want to leave, okay, bye. If you want to go, go. No big deal. And you should not cry over it. You shouldn't be sad over it. You shouldn't think or feel anything about it, because your love come from God. Your help come from Him. And you should have no other God but God. So I like the way you say you dealt with it. That's the perfect way of dealing with it.
Yeah, well, at first I didn't. I cried for like 3 days.
You cried?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, my kids.
Oh, you were crying on losing your kids?
And like, I didn't want them to feel the effects of her foolishness.
Right, but that's no reason to cry, because the kids prefer the father over the mother anyway. As long as they could be
her
with
side, you. Her side's a lot funner. She has 8 kids and a house full of, fun. I'm alone.
Yeah.
I'm alone.
And how are you doing now?
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, because of time, don't be angry at her about it. Be glad she's gone, but don't be angry. And don't be mad at yourself, and you'll be fine. If you stay away from the anger, don't be mad at her. You could be done with her, but don't be mad at her. That way, she won't be your God. And she can't. Those emotions will not happen.
I'm not angry with her.
Right on.
No. I dropped the kids off with her. She, for like 3 months, she came over with her boyfriend after work, and they hung out, and, it was all good.
Okay. Well, yeah, would you just move? Because of time, call me back to Monday. But you move on with your life and forget about her.
Yeah,
All right.
I will.
Call me when you're in a better situation, too. There's a lot of noise. All right?
Okay. Okay, right. Bye.
Bye now. Let me go to Mercy. Mercy, man. Mercy out of California. Mercy, you are on the air.
Good morning, Uncle Jesse.
Hey, Mercy.
How are you?
All is well. How are you?
Amazing.
Amazing. Nice.
Is Myron still there? I wanted to say hi. I got excited when I saw him on with you today.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, man. I wanted to tell him that I stay in the kitchen.
Right on. Amazing.
I know my place.
Right on.
I wanted to ask you really fast.
Ask.
I need some advice. There's something going on at my son's school where there have been some children that have been inappropriate with some of the little girls. And my son's in kindergarten, so we're talking about, what, six-year-olds?
Yeah.
And come to find out that the main children that are doing it happen to be Black. And the parents immediately pulled out the race card, that they're being ethnically targeted and that it's racist. And I'm just like, I just don't know how to go about this, because they're calling for a meeting of all the parents in the class. My son is not involved, but they want all the parents to be present for the meeting. And I just, you know, I don't know what to say to chime in. I just think, hey, we should be parenting our children at home. It's not the school's responsibility that your children are acting a fool. So yeah, I just wanted your advice on, you know, how I should go about this. Like, if they ask for my opinion, or should I stay out of it completely since my son is not involved?
I will first say, have a wait and see what happens when you get there. You may not have to say anything. But secondly, I wouldn't even get involved, to be honest. Let the devils fight with the devils. And don't you be involved with the devil's fight. And then I would eventually, if you can, take your son out of that school.
Oh, Jesse, I've been talking to my husband about homeschooling, and he doesn't agree, because this is supposed to, our son's in a private school, and we put him in this school because these things don't happen. And academically, these kids are set up to, you know, go to good colleges and stuff like that. So to hear about this is shocking, because this is like a first that something like this has happened at this school. But my husband doesn't agree with me wanting to homeschool him. He wants him to be in the school. And I'm like, well, if these things, I mean, you know, we should have a wait and see attitude. But if these things do continue to happen, I mean, I don't want my son around this.
Right.
Type of behavior, because my son doesn't act that way.
Do I work? Yes.
Oh God, no. I stay home.
So why
I'm a stay at home mom?
So why don't you homeschool? Why he doesn't want you to homeschool if you're home anyway?
I have asked him, and he just does that because he can be put on a path to go to a good college if he goes to this school.
But
and we have a young daughter.
Children that are homeschooled are smarter than those that are educated outside of the home.
Yeah, but to be honest, I'm not one to go against what my husband says.
Right, yeah, I understand
that. He does lead. I follow.
Yeah.
But we do have a one-year-old daughter, and I have mentioned to him, I do want to homeschool her. I don't want to put her in school. And he's like, no, she's going to go to school too. So I'm kind of like, I don't know what to do about that. Maybe I should have him call you, huh?
Let me just say that. Just have a wait and see about this meeting thing. You don't even have to get involved, even if you want to go there. You don't have to get involved with what's going on. You could be the observer and not be involved in it. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking, because there's a group chat amongst the parents, and they were going off on each other yesterday, and I was like, oh my gosh, if this is the group chat, how is the meeting going to be like? I don't want to be there. I don't want to get my hair pulled.
Right. I got to run, but don't fight with the devil. Leave the battlefield.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And by the way, you should definitely go on Myron's podcast. That would be amazing.
Amazing. I will. Thank you.
Have a great weekend, Jesse. You love you.
Love you, too.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Let me go to Marilyn out of Florida. Marilyn, you are on the air.
Yay! You get off speaker. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
All is well, Marilyn.
Good. a couple things. First, I guess I wanted to talk about you and Myron's discussion about the wars going on. You know, excuse me, you know that like Iraq and Iran and Pakistan and a lot of those places over there, it is illegal to curse Jesus or speak ill upon Jesus. But in Israel, they will spit on you if you have a cross on. They will like make you curse Jesus, like promote it. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I mean, that's really all you need to know about that. But I did, I don't know what you feel about that, but you know what?
I don't feel anything about it because everywhere you go, you're going to find good and evil everywhere. And I do know that there are Jewish people who are for Christ. They love Christ. And there are those who are not. Just like in America, there are those who are against Christ and there are those who are for Christ. So you got to find that everywhere you go. Israel is not unique.
I know, but
Israel is not unique.
But Jesus is the exemplary, like, of the highest purity, sinless example that there is. So
well, that
for
doesn't
you
have anything to do with the way people are going to act.
I don't know. If you say so, doesn't make it right. I understand that. And I had one more question about men and women being equal. I know we always go over this, but it is literally in the curse that men are to rule over women. We were equal with God. We were partners with together before the curse. We were not, there was no hierarchy. There was, we had dominion over the land. We named the animals. We had to take care of the land. There was no situation where one needed to serve the other.
It wasn't no we doing that. Adam did it.
Right. But then Jesus was the last Adam. God said Jesus was the last Adam.
No,
so
but I'm saying
all
that
of those curses
that, you
are
said
no,
that we named the animal. There was only one person who named the animal, and that was Adam.
Right. Well, us as a species, us as a people, yes, Adam did it. But
right.
You know what I mean. There was no hierarchy other than people. People were at the top. But now for us to say that women are less than men and they don't deserve the same respect and the same honor, it's creating an imbalance in the system. Men will never win if they don't treat women as with just as much respect.
Well, we're all created to love one another and not hate one another. And so men and women should treat everybody the same, not with hate, but with love, and things will be fine. But don't treat anyone special.
Right. I mean, yeah, right. I like it.
Thank
all right, Jesse, thank you.
Good talking to you. Super.
Super chat. Over on Rumble.com/JesseLeePeterson, Nick LaBoy. I think possibly the UFOs we're seeing is a combination of Ophanim, hopefully that's not a bad word, angels, and fallen demons that were banished. I'm just kidding. It's not a bad word, I'm sure. Banished with Satan using technology to get around. But I'll have a wait-and-see attitude.
Repeat that?
I think possibly the UFOs that we're seeing are a combination of Ophanim, angels, as well as fallen demons that were banished with Satan using technology to get around. But I'll have a wait-and-see.
Oh.
So he thinks that they're fallen angels. It's spirits and things.
Oh, okay.
But he's not sure. We'll wait and see.
Amazing. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get that story. I had some soundbite I had wanted to get out to you in the first hour about those UFO things. But if the Lord is willing and the creed don't rise, we'll have them for Monday. All right. But thank you for responding, though. Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Pastor Chatelet with a hundred, with several hundred gold pills. Good morning, Uncle Jesse. This is on pilled.net. I loved it when you found out that people who don't like the bad orange man attend your church and you ask, why are you here? I was wondering that. Why do the hate watchers show up when they know we appreciate the great white hope? Amazing.
It's so wrong with you if you don't love the great white hope. You should be thanking God in the morning. Hey, God, thank you. And then after you finish thanking God for your life, thank Trump for being president of the United States. It is truly amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
He also asked, what's the great white hope have to say today?
Let me check. You only have to ask.
They say, is Donald Trump an intellectual? Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
See there? I rest my case. He's a smart person.
Facts.
A son of God. Amazing. Thank you.
Cesar Caesar Jesse, I found myself in the middle of a teen takeover while at the beach with my family Memorial Day. Whole lot of young blacks looking like they were celebrating school graduation. But weed smoking and cops all over the place. I just kept thinking, oh, God, not George, Lord. Please don't let me be, don't let me or my family get shot. Crying tears streams emoji.
At the beach?
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Cesar.
You really have to be careful in the public now. You have to be careful in the public. It is dangerous out there. Human beings are wicked. And it's out of control now. The young people have not taught to love, been taught to love one another or anything. It's amazing. Thank you.
Walking Roscoe, Myron, amazing. Love y'all. Referring to the guest from the second, third hour.
I really enjoyed talking to him. And we will have him back. That's for sure. And have a little bit more. Excuse me, a little bit more time with him as well.
Everblazer, my two finally people finally met. Two favorite people finally met. Celebration, Dominican hands.
Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Half Black Tony, 4 months strong membership on Jesse Lee Peterson channel.
Thank you. Amazing.
Marcus G, Papa Jesse is back in the second hour after whipping everybody's butt in that studio for messing up the first hour. Jesse ticked, laughing face with tears, 100 emoji.
What a mess. I wasn't ticked, but the show need to start better than that, that's for sure.
Hannes.
My producer, Black, Lord.
Loud.
He black.
Miscommunication. Misunderstanding.
Yeah. Amazing.
Hannes, 5 coffees. Thank you, Jesse, for everything.
Thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Nikki 313 says, UFO. I once saw a bright light in the sky that moved too fast to be an aircraft, split into 3 lights that circled one another, moving very fast in weird directions. Seconds later, a bunch of helicopter police with red and blue lights flew straight toward them. I was pretty scared. Smiley.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
You must live in the desert.
Yeah, I'm about to say it must be in the desert. Myron doesn't look black.
Right.
He doesn't
all this
sound
time,
black. He doesn't anything.
Yeah, when I used to hear about that their podcast for years because they've been saying, oh, they need to come on Jesse's show or something like that. But recently I saw him and I'm like, and everybody's like, oh, he's Arab, he's Muslim. But then I find out he's North African. If Sudan is North Africa, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he said it, yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody, maybe you touched it.
So that maybe they're part mixed with Arabs and that's why they're a little different.
He even
different
have
structure.
Good hair, not he doesn't have bad hair.
I imagine hair. That's what Sion looks like. Except a female attractive version.
Oh, she's from there too?
Ethiopia. Isn't that kind of up there? Close to Israel and all that stuff? Okay. Anyway, Roy says, great insight from Myron. I don't agree with him on everything, but he knows what he's talking about when it comes to relationship issues currently between men and women. Also, women are almost never told the truth by other women. Their mothers and grandmothers and men. Interesting point. Yeah. Nobody wants to tell them the truth.
Amazing. But if you overcome your mama, overcome the spirit of the mama, then and return to the father, the fear will leave, and then you won't be afraid of anything or anyone. So you'll be you won't judge or be mad at or hate or anything. It's just that you would not be afraid to speak up. Amazing. Thank you.
Angban Art, can you possibly start doing a video conglomeration of all the hate reports each week? That would be awesome.
The hate report? Your show?
I think Angband Art possibly. Oh, all the Hake news. All the Hake news each week. The Hake news segments.
I like that. The Hake news is amazing.
Nice idea. Maybe that should be a project for Hake.
Yeah. Hake ahead of that. Thank you.
Maybe. But it's a great suggestion. I love it.
He has a bit response.
It's not the first time I've had that suggestion, but I'm really considering.
Yeah.
Lin Yan Shen, thoughts are not created. They are generated via biochemical fluctuation. It's energy, electrical energy from the heart flowing through the sense system accumulated into the brain as amalgamated sense.
Amazing.
And he also says from, not frock, because he had said frock, but I knew it was from. Sometimes I'm quick, Lin Yan Shen. Other times I'm a full-blown mouth breather. Typo, Lord Goodhair, typo. I blat.
Thank you. Amazing.
He goes further. He's talked about thoughts in the first one. Now he says emotion is sense accumulated, and thought is emotion accumulated. Sense is feedback between the body and environment. Generation is not creation.
Well, emotions, you can't have thoughts unless you have emotions. If you overcome thoughts, you will also overcome emotions. Everything starts with a thought, and that's where the problem is. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Lin Yan Shen's contention with you is always that emotions come before thoughts, and you say it's the other way around, and he says, no, it's the other way around.
The one thing I promise you, you cannot have emotion unless you have a thought first. Try catching those thoughts. You will see that the emotion will disappear as well. You cannot have an emotion without a thought. Everything starts in the mind. The sin itself is in the mind. It's in the thought. Amazing. Thank you.
And yet another from Lin Yan Shen. Fool guest. The suffix ist never needs compounding with ick. Istic, something socialistic or whatever. A clear sign you are a liar and a low IQ fool is using istic at the end of any word. That's why he doesn't like Bill Lockwood either.
Using what?
Like socialistic or communistic or something-istic is a sign of low IQ, per Lin Yan Shen.
Amazing. Thank you.
K.L. Jesse, have you ever read the Quran? The Bible is the word from God, but the Quran is the words of God. Much love, Bon Crew. Strong arm emoji.
But the Quran says that, unless they have changed it, that you can hate your enemy, that you can deceive your enemy, and stuff like that.
Have you read it?
Not the whole thing, but I read some. We used to deal with this a lot, so.
Him Diddy.
On my radio.
Thank you, Kale. Interesting that you would say that. Him Diddy, great shows this week, Jesse. Catch you Sunday. Halo, smiley.
Amazing. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Nick LaVoy, Rumble Rant. The caller, Mercy. Homeschool your children and let Satan have the public schools. Public schools are breeding grounds for Satan's children. Tell your husband to man up. Happy Friday, Jesse and crew.
Amazing. I like the fact that, or appreciate the fact that she doesn't want to go against her husband. And so I like the fact she's dealing with it in that way. That's the right way to do it. Amazing. Thank you, though.
Brian R., that interview was amazing. I would love to have a monthly segment with Jesse and Emro, which I think is the real name of Myron, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
I enjoy talking to him. We definitely will have him back, that's for sure. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Hake gifted the shades, saying something nice for the Pilled.net crew.
Thank you. Amazing.
And thank you, guys. I do believe, let me just make sure, That is, I think, all for now.
Thank you all. Amazing. I appreciate it. I am so out of time. I had planned to keep Myron for an hour, but as you saw, it went longer. And so I didn't get to all your calls today. And we can't make up, but we'll do it on Monday, all right? So thank you for your support. And Ross out of New Jersey, Aaron out of Maryland, Rick out of Hampton, and the caller just dropped, and the caller just coming in, another one coming in. I'm out of time. I'll see you on Sunday. The Hake Report is coming now, and then the Fallen State, and then the American Nation, baby. Take care, folks. Thank you all.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.